another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeedy, F indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Time for Little House Say You. Joel McHale coming in studio this morning. That's always a good day. Will Arnett coming in. Great guy. Funny. Really glad.
Rapist.
I've seen Will. I've known Will for quite a few years, and we got off to a slowish start, but has really been in, you know, I don't know, 4 of the last 10 really funny movies, and doing a lot of great voiceover work and so on and so forth, and a really nice guy. So Will Arnett coming in, and Joan Rivers as well. Quite a day. All right. Now, there's a question up on the board that I'm going to get to in 1 second, and it'll tie into the thoughts that I'm having now. Wants to know, making the transition from blue collar to white collar and what it feels like. Let me give you guys a little window into my life and my world and my inner workings and my psyche. And part of probably my problem, my biggest problem as a human being, I would say my greatest problem as a human being. Part of it's being a guy, part of it's being sort of a mechanically oriented guy, and then part of it is a horrible job done by my parents. So it's a combination,
right,
of
a hat trick.
It's a confluence of things, yes, that make me miserable in this town. Yesterday, what I had to do directly after work was go to a studio in Pasadena, which is not close to here, and get hair, makeup, and a sort of Latin outfit dress, and then shoot the whole opening sequence to Dancing with the Stars. They do a whole package where they go, hey, let's get to know all of our celebrities and where they're from. And if you're a radio guy, you sit in front of a radio microphone, but you're dressed up in your orange paint and your makeup and your, you know, Latin outfit, and you're talking about, and then they ask you 5 pages of questions. So what made you want to do it? What do you think of your partner, Julianne? So on. What do you think Kimmel's going to say? You know, they compile a whole list of things. You do a long interview. Then you do a lot of sort of stuff where you pop out of your chair. It depends. Like I said, if you're Monica Seles, you're on a tennis court and you're in a ball gown and you're hitting backhands and, you know, things like that. It's, you know, it's one of those. It's not exactly Shakespeare, but I understand it's television and it's meant for the masses and they want to see everybody in their element. And it's also a nice way to say, hey, Christian, what's his name? Are you the sixth member of Menudo? Are you on a telenovela? Are you a soccer player? Like, we don't exactly know who you are. So here's a way for America to find out who you are. And same with Adam Carolla. There's many, many folks. Unfortunately, my favorite pastime, and again, who I am, was not fully revealed.
Well, that's very awkward in a montage.
But it can be, but I say it can be tastefully worked in. Not for the show. Not for prime time, but there's one that starts at 9 o'clock, and I feel toward the end of that show, you can.
That's why Fox has Fox Reality Channel. They can show that
right.
Kind of extra stuff.
Point is you go in. By the way, no better gig than hair and makeup, especially when you're working with me, because these two women these two yentas just sit there and cackle the entire time in the next room while I'm in my room. They don't even go in the room I'm in, but. While the shooting's going on. But here's the thing. I'm miserable. But from the time I walk in to the time I leave, all I want to do is go. That's all I say is, what's the next shot? Are we done? Are we done? Are we done? As I said, I got called back to the big one over at ABC last week because I split too early. I said to someone who didn't know enough, I found somebody with a clipboard and said, am I done? Am I done? And she said, yeah, I think you're done. And I jumped out of my monkey suit and I jumped into my sweatpants and I jumped into my car and I started speeding toward my house. And then I got a phone call halfway up the hill that said, you're not done. You need to come back. And I almost wanted to vomit in my lap. So, couple things. First off, I realize if you're a chick, not you, Teresa, but if you're most chicks or you're gay, or you're a narcissist, this is awesome.
We got the room covered.
You would relish the experience. You wouldn't be dying to go home.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't like clothing. It doesn't do anything for me. It's like, call me naive, but pants haven't changed since I was in the third grade, and they didn't change for 500 years before that, as best I can tell. I know they do a new clothing line every year. New men put out new suits and new, hey, we have a new fall line coming in. But wait a minute. When you go see pictures from the 20s and the teens and then the turn of the century and then in the 1700s and the 1800s, aren't guys wearing the same effing suit that I just saw the waif gay go down the runway in, or is it just me? I mean, is it almost exactly, you take some material, you sew a pair of slacks, you sew a jacket, and you're done. Why do we keep turning it into something it's not? It's nothing. There's nothing to it. If there was something to it that I could sort of sink my teeth into, I would get excited about it. If there's something from a design, if it had a design element in it, does a suit today, yes, they change a little. In the 70s, you go, you know, you have a bigger collar. And in the 80s, you got a little more linen involved. But really, fundamentally, does it change? Has it changed? Could you go out and make a man's suit that was different than one from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on? I'll answer it. No. No. Now, I understand airplanes. I understand cars. When you look at the brand new Audi 08 S8, you go, well, none of them has ever put that next to a Model T. It's a totally different animal. But suits, clothing, all that stuff, couldn't be less interested in it. It doesn't take skill to do. Number one, we turn it into a big deal. We make a huge deal out of it. But really, these guys are hacks that couldn't design other things. I see a bridge. I see a modern suspension bridge in Australia that's made of stainless steel and that spans, you know, 9 miles. And I go, wow, that's something to stare at. I see a crappy suit that some half a F crapped out up in the Bay Area. Not interested. And we shouldn't be interested as a society. It's not an achievement. It's a zero achievement. You got a sewing machine out and put some felt together. What do you want? The Pulitzer? Or you want the Nobel Peace Prize? All right.
7 minutes in.
Wow.
It's nothing. Let's stop making something, especially men's fashion, but women's fashion. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's easy. It's not done by simpletons, and we lavish money and praise on them. All right. Look, jewelry, at least that's something. I mean, you put together a watch, you put together a fine time instrument, I'm all for it. But suits, okay. So what do you got? You have clothing. Who cares? Then you have makeup. Yeah, that's great. Guys love being made up. So you have hair, and then you have hair. So you have hair, makeup, and clothing. Bust, bust, bust. Zero, zero, zero. As a matter of fact, less than zero, because now I got to wipe the paint off that's on my face. I got to get out of the crappy gay clothing. I have to get out of the hair junk. Your hair's all sticky and whatever. So zero, zero, zero. Now somebody's going to take a whole bunch of pictures of you. Can't handle it. Come from the wrong family. My family didn't prepare me for that. They prepared me for get in line. You're no better than anybody else. Why should anybody take a picture of you? So I'm uncomfortable. And then, fifthly and cosmically, I know we're not doing anything. I know there's nothing going on. We're not changing anything in the world. We're not making anything any better. We're not doing anything. People make that argument every once in a while. Well, you bring a smile to somebody. Oh, who cares? Jesus Christ. They can turn on the TV, watch America's Funniest Videos, see a guy step on a snow shovel and have him hit it, get hit in the nards with it and get a laugh. We're not doing anything. So every once in a while when people get uptight and start getting into other people and start doing stuff, I always stand up and go, people, let's never forget for 1 second, none of us is doing anything right now. This is a zero. There's nothing being done here. We have somebody who paints faces over here. We have someone who puts goop in hair over there. We have a guy who hands out stuff that someone else made in a... Oh, actually, Asian kids made in a factory in Indonesia. I'm putting that crap on. You're holding the camera that shoots me and all this crap. So let's not pretend for 1 second that we're doing anything here, but all I want to do is leave. And I realize this is why show business is a bad place for me. Now, I wish I was a chick. And the reason I wish I was a chick, or gay, or narcissist, is a chick would go, oh my God, I have these three beautiful gowns I get to try on. I would imagine, by the way, and I'm not trying to be condescending or sexist or anything, it would be like somebody saying to me, hey, there's three different cars. We want you to try out, see which car you look the best in. Take it around the block. Check it out. You know what I mean? That's a field of interest. And most women I know, if you held up three beautiful gowns and said, let's try one on and see which one's the most slimming and the most flattering, they'd be very excited to try those. I'm going to get fitted today. Someone's going to make a gown for me. That's awesome. Then, of course, you have the whole makeup and hair thing, which is another plus. Now, the whole narcissist thing, well, that's an umbrella that covers it all, because that means all of you are here for me. There are 18 people in this building. There's hair, there's makeup, there's grips, there's lighting, there's camera, there's producers, director, there's people with walkie-talkies, there's PAs, and they're all here. You want to know why? Me. I'm the only reason these people here are here. As a matter of fact, if I call in on my way to the studio in Pasadena and say, I'm sick, I can't come in, they're all going to go home. And I'm a narcissist, and I love the fact that everyone is here for me. And I love that they're all looking for me when I leave. And I love when I say, is there a bathroom around here? Someone kind of jumps and goes, I'll show you where it is, instead of just pointing and going, it's down the hall. And I love the fact that when I say, could I get a water? Somebody says, a room temperature? Or now, if you're a narcissist, you love that. I don't want to say I'm the opposite. I'm not a very humble man, but I'm not a narcissist, and I am uncomfortable by the 18 people all looking at me. I would like to join them. I would like to be the 19th person that's getting paid but standing behind the camera getting me the water. I don't want to be the guy where people are tripping over. It makes me uncomfortable. So between the hair, the makeup, the dress, and then being the center of just the way people talk, you know, they do that thing where they go, hey, listen, they're ready for you in the next room, but, and then you kind of stand up and they go, whenever you're ready, whenever you're ready. And it's like, I feel, I was never trained to accept that. I feel like I want to go, no, I don't want to hold anybody. Definitely finish your phone call, but they can wait on you. And I'm like, I wasn't trained to say, let eight people stand around and wait. I'm making a personal phone call. I am trained to say, hey, I got to wrap this up and hang up and jump up and run over and then say, I'm sorry, you guys, I was late. Again, I'm not a nice guy. I'm just not a narcissist, so thank you.
What you're saying is that being fawned over causes some kind of cognitive dissonance because you were raised to think that you weren't any more important than anybody else.
My family bent over backwards to make sure that everyone else in their family felt less important than other families, hence strangers.
And it's nice to be humble. That's a nice value, but it's completely incongruous with the values in show business.
I am When this then comes about because of my upbringing, I am uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable when people say, like, let me go get that. I always want to say, no, I'll get it. I'll get it. You know, I do that. You know, you do that thing where you go, geez, I'm pretty spent. Is there any coffee here? Oh, yeah, let me get you. No, I'll get it. You know, it's a weird, I don't feel right. I don't feel right even for a 19-year-old. I mean, I'll definitely do it. I'll definitely, you know, they'll go, oh, no, I got it. And I'll go, okay, thanks. Go get it. I won't tackle them. But it doesn't feel good for a second. I feel out of place. It feels uncomfortable. And I realize I would enjoy this experience if I had either the narcissism thing going or the chick thing where I could, or now both, which is something that a lot of folks have. Yes, Paul.
Here's
Bryan.
What's interesting to me is without actually saying it, you've perfectly articulated all the reasons why you like radio over TV. This
right.
is it's the opposite of everything you're talking about, from the hair, the makeup, the constant people orbiting around you. And the interesting thing is, I think the reason part of why you like radio so much is because whether you talk fast or slow or how many people you talk to or whatever you do, 4 hours is still 4 hours. You're not going to get through any faster. There's no amount of like, let's go, chop, chop, we're going to get through this.
It's, yes.
You're here and let's
very,
make it
very
in.
Good point, yes. I don't get looked at by people. I don't get stuff put all over me. And yesterday's four-hour shoot translates into 41 seconds of actual broadcast time. 4 hours, 40-something seconds. And that's not even bad. Sometimes you do 4 hours and you get either nothing or 30 seconds. I love the ratio of radio. I love the one-to-one ratio. Adam?
Yeah?
What's happening, my brother?
Oh, hey, man. I've been trying to talk to you for a long time. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, Adam.
Tangent!
What's happening?
Alrighty, so my situation is I'm in kind of a white-collar job right now, cubicle, mm-hmm. you know, dressing up, all that. I'm wondering what the other side is like, if it's worth trying to switch into maybe something more hands-on, blue-collar, outside.
Yeah, blue-collar's one of these. I mean, you know, for every good thing about it, there's a bad thing about it and so on and so forth. Like people do, wow, you get to work outside in the sunshine. Yeah, that's awesome, except for it's freezing cold half the year. It's not, you know, everyone acts like it's an 85-degree day. You're staring at the ocean. The wind is blown. You have a six-pack, and you've just taken your shirt off, and you're swinging your hammer.
And he's in Baltimore. I imagine the weather gets chilly over there.
I don't want to disagree with you, Ball, Brian, but I've been to that area. And I've never experienced that.
Oh, balmy.
Yeah, it's balmy.
Totally counterintuitive.
It should be called balmy more. Hey, so Adam, A, you get the elements thing, and it's all right, but here's the problem. Most blue-collar gigs don't start at 9. Most blue-collar gigs, like construction, start at 7, which means you pull up to the construction site at like 6:45, and when it's cold outside, it's never colder than like 6:45 in the morning, and the tools are cold, and the materials are cold, and so on and so forth. You do get to speak your mind. You get to dress however you want. If you like a lot of racial humor, it's a great place to do it, because you can throw around terms like when you're like in a white collar world and you're in a cubicle, you can't go, who collated this stuff? This stuff is N-rigged. You can't say stuff like that. But in the construction world, you get to toss that around.
Do you ever spend any time like in the corporate world too? You and I sort of have, right?
Yeah, working in a newspaper.
It coddles you. But it'll crush your soul.
It crushes your soul a little bit, like what Adam was saying. At the end of the day, you think, what have I done today? This meant nothing.
You have to work that much harder to get out and, I don't know, create something or do something you feel is worthwhile.
Yes. I worked, as much as I complain about swinging a hammer for a living, you could literally chart your day through what you built. And you would even have an expectation at the beginning of each day, which is, we should have this garage framed by the end of the day. And if you got it framed by the end of the day, you felt pretty good about it. I mean, it was literally a barn raising. It had that kind of feel to it. Whereas I worked for 6 months at a place called Hoffman Travel Agency out of high school. I sat at a desk. It wasn't really a desk. It was a folding table with a clock on it. And some crazy yenta would run up to me and go, Merv Griffin doesn't have his tickets. Where are they? And I'd go like, and then you realize, here's what you did at the end of the day. You got Merv Griffin and his traveling companion. Never had time to marry.
Right.
He loved crossword
bachelor.
Puzzles. Confirmed bachelor.
Slam point.
You got him and Denny Terrio a couple of tickets to Cannes, and that's all you did, versus something that a family will move into and then pass down from generation to generation, and barring a twister, will be there for the next 200 years.
So, Pops always says that about fixing cars. There's something really satisfying about working with your hands, and at the end of the day, you've actually rebuilt or fixed
some juice.
The other thing you get to do in a blue-collar world, and it's changed a little bit now with the advent of the iPod and the earbuds and all that kind of stuff, but back in the day, this was a job you could crank a radio. And there's nothing better, turns into a gay 80s movie montage, but a song comes on the radio, the rock and roll radio you like, you crank it up. You just would crank it up. Somebody would have a boombox, it would be beat up, it'd be covered with paint. fell off the scaffolding one too many times. But every once in a while, you'd screw around. And I swear to God, it'd be like a scene from a movie. Someone would crank it up. Somebody would grab their hammer out of their bags, turn it upside down, pretend it was a microphone. And guys would start dancing up on the scaffolding. And then somebody would grab like a handful of joint compound and throw it at the next guy. And you had a sort of camaraderie. You could screw around. I mean, I worked with a lot of guys that didn't speak any English, and I worked with a lot of guys that were just racist Vietnam vets. But I did work with a handful of guys that were really cool guys, just sort of like almost throwback guys. They're like guys from 100 years ago, guys that just enjoyed their craft, enjoyed their strapping on their tool bags in the morning, like to keep their truck nice and their tools organized. And there'd be cool guys, and you'd look forward to like working with those cool guys, and you'd get a little project going where it's like, all right, we're going to put this siding on today. And you'd work with another guy, and you'd be cutting, and he'd be calling out measurements, and he'd be tossing in, this is a Smurf's ass hair too long, taking a 16th off, and you'd hand it back to him, and then he'd make some joke about where you learned carpentry from a blind man or something. You'd like kibitz around, but it was kind of fun, although they didn't know what the word kibitz meant. And then lunch would come around, and you'd all kind of sit in a circle like you didn't go your separate ways. You'd all sit in a pile of drywall, and you'd eat your sandwich, and you'd talk smack about the rich guy who was going to move into this house, and you'd do that. Did you get a look at his wife? Jesus Christ, how much nose candy did he feed her kind of thing? And there was a certain, you know, honest day's work for honest day's pay. All right, hold on. We need to take ourselves a break. Damn, I miss carpentry.
You know what bridges your two worlds? Dance.
I just got to say, after a day of getting painted and getting into a monkey suit and doing nothing, a day of swinging a hammer with a bunch of regular guys, you do kind of miss it. All right, quick break. Back with more How Say You next.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
That's right. Y'all already locked on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Face it. You love crank yankers. Well, here's another one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
This is South Park. Can I help you?
Yes. With whom am I speaking?
Rick Baird.
Hello, Rick. This is Niles Standish calling. I'm interested in becoming a cowboy.
How long of a trip you're interested in?
How long do they have them? Because I like them long, if you know what I'm saying, Rick.
I've got 3 and 4 day trips.
Which is the most expensive trip that you have, Rick?
4 day.
I'll take 2 of those.
Who do you represent, sir?
I represent myself, Niles Standish, Earl of Yankovic. I'm quite wealthy, and I've always dreamt of being an American cowboy. South Fork Stables and Outfitters look like just the place for me to become that wonderful, wonderful American cowboy. Yes, yes?
I guess so.
Yes, yes?
Yes.
Yes, yes?
Yes.
Rick, yes, yes?
Yes.
Yes, yes?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Rick. Now, can you explain to me some of the itinerary that I'll be looking at doing while I'm on this wonderful cattle drive?
Okay. The spring trip, we gather and we brand, we do the whole thing.
Oh, you brand. I'd love the idea of roping a calf and holding that hot metal to his hindquarters.
Yes, sir.
And we'll be out on the dusty trail, we'll be camping out under the stars?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. I'll tell you, I dream of being tenderly woken by a grizzled old gin blossom tosspot named Cookie, who brings me a cup of Earl Grey, sweet smell of cirrhosis on his breath. And when I wake, I'll be able to perhaps mosey down to the creek to bathe my filthy underpants with the rough-hewn ranch hands?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, let me ask you this. Will I be able to wear spurs that go jingle, jangle, jingle as I go riding merrily along?
Somewhat. It depends on your riding experience.
Well, I don't have a lot, but I have watched a lot of Western movies, especially Red River with a young Monty Clift.
Yes, sir.
To be Monty's horse, I'll tell you. I'll give him some saddle sores. Yes, yes? Yes, yes?
No.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm a big fan of the Westerns. Yourself, Rick?
Yes, sir.
I love that Chuck Connors. You remember The Rifleman?
Yes, sir.
Between you and me, Rick, the boots never touch the trail. Yes, yes?
I guess.
Oh, I love them cowboys. I love me some cowboys. You know what? I'll tell you something, Rick. I don't even call them cowboys. You know what I call them?
What?
Wow boys. Now, what are we talking about for a rate?
Okay, a four-day trip, $825.
Will you do me a favor?
What's that?
Will you take that rate and double it?
What's the deal here, sir?
I'm quite wealthy. I come from a regal background. And I've always dreamt of being a cowboy. Let me ask you this. When we camp under the stars, do I have to stay in my own tent? Can I?
Yes, sir.
Can I bounce from tent to tent?
I'm Norm MacDonald. You're listening to 97.1 Free 2HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for Frequency Modulation.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and now with a few words, Program Director Jack Silver.
Booyah, peeps! Today, from Arrested Development and the new movie Semi-Pro, actor Will Arnett, TV Talk with Joel McHale, a long-awaited edition of Weed Walking, the Ace Man unleashes the fury in This Week in Rage, and comedy legend Joan Rivers. Ooh, let me tell you something, peeps. Joan was a real piece of ass back in the day. I don't want to brag, but Jack and Joan spent some wild, kinky, steamy nights together. Ah, to be back in the summer of 2005.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I see a question about a car, even though I can't tell what the question is, but I'll go to it. Chris?
Hey, Adam. What? Hey, the Nissan Skyline, you know which car that is?
Of course I know the Nissan Skyline.
Dude, do you have one yet?
No. Well, here's the thing. There's an old Nissan Skyline. Nissan made a car called the Skyline. Had a 2.8 straight six in it with a turbocharger in it, all-wheel drive, supercar, and it only lived in Japan. They didn't bring many of them out here. Most of them were right-hand drives. There were companies that converted them to left-hand drives and made them dot legal.
How difficult is that?
For this country.
Converting a car from right to
left? Not that difficult, because a lot of cars are made to be converted either way, because they sell Japan and England. You know, like if you're making a car and you're just stamping out the body, and you go, well, 2,000 units are going to Japan and 5,000 units are going to England and then 100,000 units are going to America, it would behoove you to make it so that you could make it in either configuration. So that's the old Nissan Skyline. A couple of them made it over here, but it's a pain in the butt and they're pretty expensive. They were considered the secret Japanese supercar that never made it to the United States. Now they've come out with a new generation, all-wheel drive. Looks like the new 350Z, although it's got boxier flares on it. Has a V6 in it now. No, or maybe it's a V8 in it now. It's putting out 480-something horsepower and it's a supercar. Is that the car you're talking about, Chris?
Check it out. Check out the computer on that thing. It tells you the G's. It tells you everything.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy. It's the most performance car. It's about a $75,000-$80,000 car, and there's nothing that can touch it. Ferrari, Porsche, anything else. But
you need to get one of those. Believe me, you'd love
these are new cars.
Let me. This is the new Skyline that they're finally bringing here. But let me say this, Chris.
You know who this is, too, huh?
Do I know who this is?
Oh, no.
The guy that I called the first time when you were called about Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, sure, Chris.
When I told you you were officially gay?
Yes.
Dude, but, hey, another...
Hey, dude.
There are 50 guys named Chris.
Hey, dude. Hey, dude, hold on, dude. I'm duding you back, dude.
Whatever.
Dude, I know. By the way, dude is very cavalier over here with the whatever.
Dude.
He brought up a car that I've never brought up on the air.
Dude.
Is that true? Have you ever heard me bring up the Nissan Skyline? Have I ever brought up a Nissan Skyline? You've never heard of the car, right?
Sorry.
His first salvo was, hey, dude, have you ever heard of a Nissan Skyline? I went through the old version of the Nissan Skyline, the engine, the configuration, and the horsepower, and then the backstory as to why they weren't brought
here do it again.
To the United States.
Wow.
And then...
Teresa.
Then I went in great detail about the new Nissan Skyline from how much horsepower it had to what the MSRP on the car was, and then he took a pause and said, you know you're gay. Really? Really? Are there any other topics I know way more than you about, Chris, that make me gay?
Hey, Jesse James and the guy, Paul Sr. from Orange County Choppers, and all these other guys are in the cars and motorcycles stuff. How come they're not on Dancing with the Stars? Because they're real gay.
I don't understand. Why does
Castroneff has won.
Yeah, hello?
I know.
A race car driver.
A football driver won before him. I mean, football player.
Yes.
Hall of Fame football.
How about the guy who drove race cars for a living that one 9 months ago.
One out of a million?
A million.
But Chris.
Why are you so concerned about this?
I do love it when people do this. I do love it, like, when people go, if I said to somebody, hey, man, do you know anything about building? I bet you don't, you big gay bait. You don't know nothing about building. And then they said, well, ask me a question. And I said, explain what a truss is. And then they went into great detail about a truss being. I wouldn't pause and go, still gay. I would go, wow, you know a lot about that. I didn't think you would know about that.
Wow. Let me borrow a point from Jimmy.
Listen, hey, let me say this, queer bait. I know way more about cars than you know. I know way more about houses than you know. And if you ever, hey, Chris, listen to me. I know about more cars than you know. I can build a house around your crappy car. And thirdly, if you ever want to put on a pair of boxing gloves, I will open a can of whoop ass on you. So who's gay? I could kick your ass. I could build around your ass. And I know tons more about cars than your ass. Who's gay?
Are we a little bit mad, Adam?
Who's gay? You asked me about the Nissan Skyline, and I told you every single thing about the old generation and new generation. As a matter of fact, you don't even know about the old generation, you queer bait. I know a ton more about the Nissan Skyline. You opened a road and track last week at the airport, and now you think you're an expert on the Nissan Skyline?
I saw it on YouTube, and I've always liked them and the GNFs. Buicks.
Right.
I've always liked turbo cars.
All right.
How dare you?
All right, queer bait. Now I'm angry. Jesus Christ. All right, what? One more time.
I'll talk to you later.
All right,
dude. Dude, whatever. You know, Jimmy Kimmel made a great point yesterday.
Dude.
And I thought he was going to call and just bust your chops about how gay dancing is because he came and saw your rehearsal with Julianne. He said, that's the straightest thing he's ever seen because you basically spend hours and hours pressing your groin against a beautiful 19-year-old.
Sweating profusely on a beautiful 19-year-old.
It's a little bit gay, though.
Yeah, it is. All right, where were we? Let's see. Someone wants to get into comedy, labor unions. Let's talk about comedy. Justin?
Hey, actually, I had a question for T about comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard her on this show and then a couple times on Frosty and Frank, and I was just wondering if she ever thought of doing any stand-up or anything like that.
Thank you. Are you saying I'm funny?
Yep. She meant, have you ever thought about being funny on the radio?
I thought about being funny on the radio, and I decided against it. I thought, that is not the course for me. The thing about stand-up, when I think about somebody I really like watching, like Sarah Silverman, she is wildly uninhibited and confident,
mm-hmm.
and that is the opposite of the characteristics that are the building block of my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I was a comedy writer before.
In this day and age, I've been noticing a lot of guys, Joel McHale is going to be in here in a couple of few. Joel McHale goes out and does stand-up.
Ontario Improv tonight.
Joel McHale, thank you, is not a stand-up comedian,
right. But
he stands up, he tells jokes, he works in front of the camera. I do feel like Bonaducci has a stand-up act. I do feel like this is a time when, let me make this analogy. There was a time in the 60s and 70s and all throughout show business where if you were a name, if we recognize you from a TV show or a sitcom, you cut a record album.
Right.
Hey, you're Bill Shatner. You're on Star Trek.
He's a Rocket Man.
We're going to do an album. Leonard Nimoy. You're on Star Trek. We're going to do. There are ones you don't know about. There's stuff that's so obscure, but if you had a hit sitcom in the 60s, you would be, you should hear Brian Keith from Family Affair. God damn, Lucy in the Sky, hold on. French! What's in the sky? Miss Beasley? Diamonds. Yeah, you would do one. All right, now you would do. Thank you. You would do music. Let's leave this on. I want to hear a little Beatles. Now, if you're successful or your name or if we know who you are, you go out and do stand-up.
When's that going to happen for me?
Well, it depends because, like, Bonaducci was never stand-up, but Bonaducci doesn't do stand-up. You see, the stand-up has expanded from telling jokes to slideshows and multimedia shows, and it's acceptable to tell stories.
Right. I would say that Bonaducci has more confidence in one nicotine exhale than I have in my whole body. And also, I don't know if I've ever told you this, Adam, but I have crippling stage fright.
Oh,
when
really?
We do live shows, you notice how I'm generally drinking?
Generally?
It's gotten a lot.
Does it generally mean constantly?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's gotten a lot better. Like, when we were in Vegas at the Palms, I was fine.
Right.
I think maybe I've just had enough reps. But the first couple live
Does
shows...
Does reps mean drinks?
Mm-hmm.
That's a new kind of Jim Beam.
Mm-hmm.
Little
yeah,
rep,
no,
rep
I know. I know, but you get over it and you get out there and you do your job and you're fine on all those live shows anyway. It's just all up in your head. And everyone gets nervous when they walk out on stage. They just do their job. I'm just saying, in this day and age of unconventional comedy...
I could do a storytelling type thing.
Anybody could do it, but again, you'd have to want to do it, and who the F wants to do that? And we always talk about that being raised in the 70s by families that tried to make us feel like we were less than our neighbors. I don't feel like I have any business standing up on stage wasting people's time.
I don't know why anyone would want to pay to see me. I will say I really liked writing for other people, which is what I used to do.
I'll tell you, some of the most enjoyable 2 years of my life was sitting in Jimmy Kimmel's writer's room and writing monologue jokes that he never used. Hey, Justin. But I will say that Teresa will take it as a compliment that you suggested she do that.
Yeah, give her some more airtime, Adam.
All right.
Thanks, Justin.
Hey, Justin, she's free to laugh at almost anything I say. And I count that as valuable airtime. Joe?
Clock's ticking when I laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Morning.
What do you got, Joe?
First, I wanted to mention that you forgot to talk about the problems with the high-cast rear steering system on the Skyline.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has rear steering.
Huh?
But it turned the Nürburgring at a record time. There's a huge ring.
What's this got to do with Nürburgring?
There's a Nürburgring. In Nürburgring, there is a racetrack, and that racetrack is huge.
Racing it's, against personal responsibility?
You don't want to know what goes on.
I know. It's famous for many things. It has a racetrack that's about, 6 or 12 miles long or something. It goes through the countryside and everything. Now, the real feather in the cap of any supercar manufacturers, how long did it take to make one lap around the Nürburgring? Super Ferrari did it in 12 minutes and 28 seconds. The Skyline did it in like 11 minutes or something. So it was like the craziest.
This is some sort of constant thing. That all supercars
right.
test themselves against.
Yes. But anyway, Joe, go ahead.
Well, I actually have a question about labor unions. You talk about, when you're in the trades, what do you think about union workers?
Here's what I think about unions, and I'm going to put you on hold and be quick because I don't want to argue with it. I feel like there was a time when this country definitely needed unions. They're here for a reason. Workers were being exploited. And then I also feel like it is past. It has gone too far. And what ends up happening, and look, I would love everyone to get paid $80 an hour plus golden time plus meal penalties plus everything. The problem is what the companies do is they go, F it, we're going to Canada to make our next movie, or we're moving from Flint, Michigan to Mexico because we need to make cars and we need to compete with the Japanese and we need to turn a profit. I know folks like Roger Moore like to blame places like GM for moving their plants from Flint, Michigan, or from wherever on the U.S. soil into places that might not have unions or strong unions and have cheap labor and so on and so forth. American cars, just as an example, it's something like $3,000 or $4,000 for every American car is going to paying the health care and union whatever and past whatever promises and subsidies and so on and so forth. Now, the American cars cost a little more than a lot of the Japanese cars. Thus, we don't sell as many of them. Thus, the place that makes the cars must close down, and now nobody has a job. So, do I think unions are great? I think there's a time and a place, and I think that time and that place was probably about 70 years ago in this country. Do I say abolish all unions? No. On the other hand, I don't think guys that have GEDs are entitled to make $33 an hour with full medical and full dental and 6 weeks off paid vacation. I'm not one of these guys. I know it sounds great. Hey, he's a union guy. No, it's not, because what happens is they say, look, we're trying to do productions in Hollywood. We got a bunch of Teamsters that are sitting in vans listening to Howard Stern and drinking coffee who are making $100 an hour because they're on golden time, and they're just sitting in a running van, and if some PA comes in and says, hey man, we need the van, let me grab the van, the guy goes, oh, not so fast. I'm the union van driver. I'm going to sit here. Well, how long, if you had a business to run, would you do that and pay the fat Teamster before you went, F it, I'm going to Montreal, we're going to shoot, and I'll get some 19-year-old, and I'll pay him $14 an hour to sit in the van. Now, I'm not saying I want to pay a guy $4 an hour to sit in the van. I'm saying the guy makes $86.50 because he's on golden time and he's got a meal penalty. I understand why businesses pick up and move. We do this in Southern California. We out-regulate everybody and businesses pick up and move, and now nobody has a job. So, unions, great. But when you're paying so much in workman's comp and so much to unions and so much for health insurance that you physically can't run your business in the state or the country you're in, well then, what good does it do for anyone? Thank you, Adam Carolla, for president. Quick break. When we come back, weed walking. Do we have an example of that?
If you smoked some Acapulco gold in Acapulco, which country are you in?
One of the greatest syndicate mobsters died of syphilis in jail.
He did, yeah.
All right.
I waited for you, man.
He's the Birdman of Acapulco.
All right. Dawson went out and did some weed walking, talked to some Heshers. We'll gamble on it next.
Later, Hosen.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station. Now, here's another great Crank Yankers episode on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
GMS.
Yeah?
Yeah. Can I help you?
Yeah. I try to find you for a new car for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Do you have money? Down payment?
I inherit from death $40,000 for a car from death.
Okay. Can you come down here?
I am.
Can you call a cab?
Yes, I take taxi.
All right. You want the address?
Yeah, I'll grab that.
Okay. So write this down. Can you get a pencil?
Yeah, hold on. Ready?
33-3-3-4-0-3-3-4-0 Fremont. And we're at the corner of Bowler Highway.
Wait, what? What?
Where are you now?
Hold on 1 second. I don't know where the fuck I am. I'm on a corner.
You're on a corner?
Yeah. Where? See? Where to go?
Look at the street sign. Look
Flaming,
up. Flamingo.
Flamingo.
But you got two streets there. You got Flamingo.
What?
Look at the other
what?
Look at the other
what?
Sign.
Jones.
Oh, Flamingo and Jones. Okay. Oh, good, good. Now we know where you are. Okay. All right.
40K ready to purchase. Right.
Why don't you do this? Call your taxi.
No. Tax? I pay tax on car.
No, taxi. A cab.
I don't... What?
A taxi cab.
Oh, so you're saying just grab a taxi cab?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I come down and see you with 40K.
No problem.
I'm coming down right now. You know that.
Yeah.
You ready to go?
Uh-huh.
Let's do the deal.
All right, buddy.
It's on the table?
On the table.
Give me a kiss.
All right. Yeah, have a good day. You
sucker. You're a sucker. You fucking gave me a kiss.
Yeah. There you go.
You call me cocksucker.
No, I didn't call you nothing.
You blue kiss.
Yeah, okay.
You lick my bum bum.
Yeah, bum bum, yeah, right.
I'm going to come down, I'm going to suck on your asshole.
All right, come on down.
Let's go.
Hi, this is Billy West, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD. Come on, you waited all your life for this technology, so get with it.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, it's time for a little weed walking. As the resident stoner here, I went out to a Willie Nelson tribute concert to talk to a bunch of burnouts and find out if they know anything at all.
If you look at a clock at 4:20, what number is the little hand on?
20. Weed walking, right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. All right, Dawson, your morning. Time to shine, brother.
Party.
All right, weed walking. I got my $20 out. Bald Brian.
I'll find $20. Dawson, can I borrow $20?
All right, T, you got yours out.
Ready to go.
First question.
Intro. Oh,
or intro,
walking.
Sorry.
Stone. Mike wants to know if you know all the things potheads don't know. You are all burnouts. It's time for
wait. What was I talking about? Man, I'm hungry.
Good times. All right. First question, please.
If you smoked some Acapulco gold in Acapulco, which country are you in?
Acapulco, Scarface, what country would you be in? Well, it's weird. I mean, it sounds easy enough, but I got to tell you, I'm pretty stupid. And there are times when you could have asked me, and I probably wouldn't have known we're talking about old Mexico way. Bald Brian, what do you think?
He'll say Acapulco's vault. No, he'll say Mexico.
He'll say Mexico.
Yes, he'll say he knows. I say he knows.
Now, okay. Technically, you could be in any country smoking Acapulco gold. Am I right, Dawson?
The actual question says if you're in Acapulco smoking Acapulco gold.
Ah. Mm. Okay, I think he'll say Mexico.
All right. It's weird because I'm trying to think of the alternatives. You know, he wouldn't say the United States. He wouldn't say Canada. And then he'd probably have to know too much to know too little. I'll say Mexico as well. We're all going to go with he knows on this one. Dawson?
If you smoked some Acapulco gold in Acapulco, which country are you in?
Uh-oh.
Oh.
We loaded it wrong. Sorry.
All right.
This is called tension.
Mm-hmm.
If you smoked some Acapulco gold in Acapulco, which country are you in?
Acapulco. You're in America.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Yes.
Whoa.
All right, we all go down 0-1. Let's move on to the next one.
There are 6 deadheads on a VW microbus. If they drop off 2 people and pick up 4 more, how many dirty hippies are on the bus?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are 8, but I mean, unless you have time to count it out, I don't know if you're going to get this.
Well, if he ventures a guess, he might come close.
Yeah. What do you say, Adam?
I'm going to say he... Oh, damn, he's stoned. He's with Willie Nelson. I say no.
He doesn't know.
I say he doesn't know.
I also say he doesn't know.
Oh, man. I'm also going to say he doesn't know unless he asks over and over and over again to repeat the numbers, but also say no, he does not know.
All right, we all say no.
There are 6 deadheads on a VW microbus. If they drop off 2 people and pick up 4 more, how many dirty hippies are on the bus? 8.
Whoa!
Out of the gate.
What kind of stoner is that?
Mathematical stoner.
They're all over the road, these Heshers. I got to tell you, literally all over the road.
Again.
All right. Bald Brian up with 1. 0-2 go Teresa and myself. I'll tell you what. Let's try to stay on time. Let's take a quick break.
We're all over, right?
Yeah. Brian did not get that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That.
I'm sorry.
Everybody's got 0.
We're all over. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Should we tease? Give me a tease. Can you do that, Mike? Tease me the next question.
Spell medicinal.
We'll finish up weed walking and get ourselves into some news next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Brian Regan.
I saw something in the store the other day that I don't understand. That peanut butter and jelly in the same jar. Is there a point to that? I mean, I mean, I'm lazy, but I want to meet the guy that needs that. Some guy going, you know, I could go for a sandwich, but I'm not going to open two jars. I can't be opening and closing all kinds of jars. Cleaning who knows how many knives. If you're that lazy, why not put croutons in there and get the whole sandwich on a spoon? You know, just scooping it out. Mm. Oh, scrumptious. I think I'm going to have another one. Oh. Mm, delectable, as was the first. Or if you don't want to clean the spoon, you put it on a squeeze bottle. Mmm, luncheon, no cleanup. Can life get better? I submit that it cannot.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
I'm Rachel Dratch, and you're listening to 97.1 32 HD, the FM talk station.
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Good morning. Who we got in the studio today?
This morning from semi-pro, Will Arnett.
I think it's going to be fun. Yeah, hopefully people will like it.
Joel McHale joins us with some clips from this week's The Soup.
I'm a card-carrying NAMBLA member.
We'll count down the top five things that pissed Adam off this week on This Week in Rage.
Ugh, what an ass.
And hang out with Joan Rivers.
Call me Miss Rivers.
I don't know why the...
Come here. Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
What the crap? This ain't normal.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? To talk to the Ace Man, call 866-901-ADAM and stream the Adam Carolla Show at adamcarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
Somebody wants an orgasm.
And now, Adam Carolla.
All right, we're doing weed walking. Dawson hit the streets, went to the Willie Nelson tribute concert.
I waited for you, man.
Figured a Willie show is a good place to go because he's known for three things: not paying his taxes, country music, and a lot of pot.
I have been on Willie's bus, and I will tell you the lot of pot part is absolutely 100% correct.
Good story. I've
heard entire, it. His entire truck or his entire bus just smells like a bong. It's like you climbed in, it's like you fell into a giant bong. It's like that.
He was like the first celebrity to go green.
He literally going green, and there's a cloud of green smoke following him down the interstate. All right, we're all 0-2. Let's keep it going.
Spell medicinal.
I'm saying no.
I'm saying no.
I was explaining to Teresa, the thing I hate about the weed walking is the randomness of it all. I can figure out what a gay man might know. I can figure out what a nerd might know. I have no idea. I'm going to say yes, just try and get ahead in the game.
Shocker that you're well-versed in gay and nerd. Mm-hmm. All right. So you're saying yes?
Yes.
One yes.
He'll know.
Two no's. Here we go.
Spell medicinal.
M-E-D-I-C-I-A. Medicinal.
Oh.
Wait.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. I-A-L. Yes. All right.
He was very close.
Very
Adam
close.
And G in the lead.
Bald Brian, 0-3.
That's close.
So again, an expert in gay and nerd. Interesting. And do you smoke pot?
No.
No, you do not.
So, have you ever?
So hard to believe. No.
So you don't smoke pot, thus you know nothing about what the Heshers may say.
That's
but,
right.
But let's now focus on the gay and nerd. Let's use the same logic with the gay and the nerd.
I'm from the Bay Area. I've spent a lot of time around.
All right. What's the next question?
How many ounces are in a pound?
I say yes. I say the druggies know ounces, and they know the metric system as well. So I'll say yes.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think he knows, but I'll say no to try and tie it up.
All right.
No, he
Let's see
know.
If we can tie this baby up.
How many ounces are in a pound? 4.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. Damn it. What the Woo! F?
It's all tied up.
Yeah,
all tied up.
One question left.
One question left. We all have a horrible batting average, but let's do the last question.
What is the chemical formula for nitrous oxide?
What?
Jeez. Is that NO2?
That is NO2.
Yeah, but that's what they would need. They would need how many, you know, water molecules or oxygen molecules or whatever. Just NO2. Just have to say NO2.
One nitrogen,
well, I
two
know
oxygen.
That from high school chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
But how would a...
Well, it will say NO2 on, if you're into cars, you're into nitrous, you might see NO2 on, I'm going to say no.
Brian?
I'm trying to get into the mind of the men who put this together. The only reason this would be on there is if he gave a hilarious answer or he was right. So
yes.
I say he knows.
You say he knows. Yes, interesting. I didn't think about that. But although I get burned every time I try to think a step ahead of the folks that ask the questions. I say no. Bald Brian says yes. Logical that one this difficult would even be on here, but I'm still going to stay with no. T?
I'll go with Adam, no.
Two no's, one yes.
Let's
answer,
do it.
Please.
What is the chemical formula for nitrous oxide?
NO2?
Yeah, no, no, no.
Damn you. Wow. Damn you to hell.
Yeah.
Wow. Now right. What? Are we all tied?
No.
No, that's the game.
Oh, that's the game.
Just won.
Oh.
Join me tomorrow.
Congratulations.
What was I talking about?
Sorry.
Man, I'm hungry.
Yeah, Bald Brian, I think you're right in that it wouldn't have been on there if he didn't know it. But I cannot tell you how many times in blah, blah, blog I have said that they only brought James Lipton on as a red herring because this seems like the kind of thing Lipton would write. But then what the hell would Susie Chaffee be on here for? If she, every time I get up in my head and I try to do that kind of math, I get burned.
I like how Brian plays the game. He took a couple risks. He came from behind. I think so far you've never lost one of these games.
I have lost one, I think. Maybe one.
All right. Well, there you have it. Now, let's talk to someone who's calling from Tokyo, Japan. Marco?
Hey, how are you doing?
What's happening, Marco?
Not much. Big fan of the show. Hey, Teresa. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Marco.
What time is it over there?
Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Good.
It's midnight. Midnight 07.
Really? Now, Marco, we've spoken to you before?
No. Unfortunately not.
No, okay. Well, we talked to someone else who was in Tokyo. I believe they were there teaching, and they brought their wife, and there
really?
Was some story about that. Yeah, so there's more than one of you out there. Now, what and how did you find us, or did you bring us along from wherever you came from?
Oh, I brought you along. I grew up in Tucson, and I heard you on Loveline a little bit, but I also went to college in California, so I heard you on K-Rock.
Uh-huh.
Where'd you go to school?
Chapman University.
And then what brings you to Japan?
Money.
And you're following a job now. It's very expensive to live in Tokyo, is it not?
Actually not. I mean, The pay is pretty good relative to the cost of living, so it's about like living in L.A., surprisingly.
What kind of money can an English teacher make in Japan?
$3,000 a month.
And is that
more?
The last person did that, but we didn't decide you did that, but evidently you do that.
It was kind of more of a, I majored in fine arts, which is not a really great career move,
right?
So it's kind of something I fell into.
But you teach English in Japan?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
And how much Japanese do you have to speak to teach English in Japan?
None. But,
yeah.
That sounds counterintuitive to me. How do you do that?
Well, the Japanese teachers are really good about grammar. They can teach all the grammar and all the really kind of fine points of it.
Mm.
Overseas, like in Japan, China, Thailand, they want just a native speaker, someone who can speak natively. So they'll take people from U.S., Australia.
Right. I understand that. It still just seems like the kind of job where in order to qualify, you'd have to have some understanding of the language of the people.
He's teaching at a slightly more advanced level, so the students have basic knowledge of English.
They have a basic knowledge in terms of the grammar, but yeah, it is surprising because I thought the same thing as Adam, that, wow, I need to know all this Japanese. But no, they just want someone who speaks English. And
well,
for a lot of jobs, they actually want someone who doesn't speak any Japanese.
Right, you can learn more quickly.
Can I ask you this then? When you go out into Tokyo at night, does almost everyone speak English or speak some English? Can you get around? Can you navigate? Can you negotiate?
I can navigate a little bit. I lucked out in the fact that I met a girl like within the first week I was here, but I mean, a lot of people, you can get around, people know a smattering, a sprinkling, a dusting, as you will, of of English, but surprisingly for the level of education, for, you know, our perception of Japan as a really intelligent country, English levels relatively low.
This is damn exciting stuff.
I am curious about this. And then what would the biggest change be from a cultural standpoint? And what I'm always interested in, and here's what I would do. We have a presidential race coming up.
Yeah, I know. It's followed very heavily over here.
We're right in the midst of everything.
Who do the Japanese like?
I'm sorry?
Who do the Japanese like in general? Obama, Hillary, or McCain?
It varies. One of the Japanese teachers I work with, she says she's a feminist, so she's for Hillary. But I know I've met several people who are for Obama. There's actually a town in Japan called Obama that sent a letter to Barack.
It used to be called Bok Choi, but then we bombed it so many times in World War II, it just became Obama. Someone would yell up. They'd look up into the sky and yell Obama and then run for cover.
You're not far off, yeah.
Hey, Marco, here's what I would do, speaking of the election, if I was the president. Here's the announcement I would make, and I would love it. I would say to the world, I would say to my countrymen, I am going to travel around the world, and I'm going to send folks around the world, and we are going to rip off every single good idea every other country has, and we're going to implement it, because other countries, that's right, I'll invent a show that originated in England, called Dancing with the Stars, called American Idol, called Top Gear. Oh, we'll take all their good shows and we'll move them over here. No, what I'm going to do is this is a global market, and I'm going to look at every other country as a competing business, and I want their secrets and I want their ideas, and you know what? We'll take them, and there's no copyright on them. And if they have something that stops crime that seems to work, then we're going to implement it. Like, we know when you travel and you see, like when I traveled through England, they had out front in London, outside of bars and pubs and things, they had these sort of porta potties. They were for guys. Three guys could stand there at a time, turn their back to the world, and urinate into these. It was a circle that had semicircles in it. It was essentially an outdoor urinal. Why? Well, I imagine they had a problem with a lot of drunken guys leaving pubs and whizzing all over back alleys and all over storefronts and stuff. So they built these things, and it took care of the problem. It was discreet. It was efficient. It was so on and so forth. I would say, all right, there you go, because we got bums urinating in stairways. There's no stairwell, by the way, in Los Angeles. There's no stairwell at an airport, in a parking structure, in a commercial building, in a parking that does not reek to high heaven of urine, and every gas station doesn't let you use their bathroom anymore because we have scary foreign people that are scared of white people letting us use the bathroom, and they don't. So, I'm going to get one of these things and bring it over here. That's number one. What would you do? What do they have in Japan that I could steal for this country if I was president, besides beer and vending machines? Because that's my first order of business.
Oh, man, you would go sick over here. For starters, the first thing I noticed when I came over here, escalators have like the little things when you go into 7-Eleven, it beeps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little infrared lines or whatever.
The little chime says someone's come through the door.
Yeah, but instead of a chime, what it does is it tracks people who go up the escalator. So if no one's on the escalator, it stops.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's smart.
Think about how much electricity, how much energy that saves. Just that. Every escalator in the country.
Right. That belt
does that.
That is essentially a steel belt that weighs several thousand pounds through a whole gear and chain mechanism that you're having to drag up and down and up and down all day, every day. And not only are you wasting electricity, but you're wearing out the system. It's going to need to be replaced and repaired that much faster. Right. For a very quick fix with technology that's existed for 30 years, you could do that. Right. Very good.
Yeah, smart.
Very smart. Very good example. Any other ones that come to mind, Marco?
Oh, man, there's tons. I'll give you two more quick ones. I went, I flied intra Japan, so like from Tokyo to Osaka.
Did you say you flied into Japan? Because he is teaching English.
It's flowed, well, by the way, but go ahead.
You know, intra, not inter, you know, right?
Right.
Not international intra. So,
right.
So I passed through the security, no problem, unlike America. But as soon as I passed through, before I got my bag to the X-ray machine, there's a little stand there that says, I can't remember what it said exactly, but there was two little spots, one about the size of a big beer can, one about the size of a big water bottle, and there was a button that said identify. So you put your liquid, assumingly, in one of those spots, you hit identify, and it would tell you whether it was safe or not.
Right. So that you could bring your liquid through instead of dump it in a big dumpster before you got onto the plane.
Exactly.
Or through
and,
the thing.
You know, I mean, I've been overseas most of the, about half the time since 9/11, but it's like, okay, well, so the technology exists. So everything that's going
right.
on in the U.S. is just, I mean, what you've been writing about, I hear every day. So.
Right. Well, hey, Marco, we need to take a break, but thank you and keep listening over there in Japan.
Yeah, it's
we
nice
do
that
appreciate
you met a girl
it.
Over there, Marco. Is she another expat or a Japanese girl?
No, she's a Japanese girl, and interestingly, I met her
Karate Kid too.
A few weeks before you met Batman, so it's kind of been a similar relationship. We're not quite engaged yet, but almost the same as you, T.
Oh,
thank you,
nice
Marco.
Real quick, I got a name for TSV. I don't know if you guys have thought of this yet. It's kind of
Mothra? Okay. Go ahead.
Well, Batman likes to go there and find refuge, so the Batcave.
That's nice. Well done. I can't believe we missed that.
Nice job. Wouldn't you love, by the way, you know, you hear about these escalators, and you hear about all we talk about is making a society that's greener
right.
and burning less kilowatts and so on and so forth. And you hear about this thing, and you go, oh, yeah, why not? That's so easy. Why wouldn't we do that? Or you hear about the urinal thing, or you hear about the airport security thing. Wouldn't you love a president that said, I will rip off every good idea from every good country around us and implement it into this country? Because there's nothing worse than when you travel. You know, it's one thing when you go to Mexico and you go, oh, man, I stay in a place you couldn't even drink the water. And did you know you can't flush the toilet paper, so they have to put... There's the bad side of travel, and that's bad. But then when you return home, you're glad to find your Charmin, your toilet paper, and your drinkable water, right? But what about the good side? What about when you go, you know, they got telephones over there that are as big as this, and they don't even take any... Or when I travel, they have a thing, or they have this and that, and you go, yes, yes, yes. Let's use those ideas.
I agree. Why not steal? Beg, borrow, and steal all their great ideas.
Let's take ourselves a break. And again, it's not, there'd be no copyright problem with it. It's not like...
It seems so obvious. I can't believe no one's thought to stop the escalator when no one's using it.
And also...
Tangent.
If it goes on in Japan, don't you think we're aware of it at least? All right. Quick break. T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, you wished for it, and it came true. A lot of tears from Brett.
Yeah. I knew it would happen.
And as they say, all good things must come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And an update on Patrick Swayze's health.
He's not talking about slinging the rock. He's talking about banging groupies on the road.
That's the part.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Back with the news next.
That's right. Y'all got Adam Carolla and Teresa right here on 97.1. Free 2 HD.
KLSX HD2 Los Angeles. This is 97.1 Free HD2. SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters March 21st, Adam Carolla in The Hammer.
So, why did you quit in the first place?
Kill the man in the ring.
Oh my God, really?
Nah, I wish I had an excuse that good.
The Hammer, in theaters March 21st. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh yeah, look out, baby.
Big
movie. Got myself a little independent film coming out. Gonna have ourselves a nice little red carpet over there at the Arclight. None of you are invited.
Oh.
Well, no, wait a minute. Joel, could you get Chelsea Handler to come?
I'll go check with their billboard.
Could you go see Seacrest? Do you know Seacrest?
Yeah, I see him sometimes.
Awesome. Could you ask him if he could come to my premiere?
Yeah, so like a plus one, and then he and I could...
Yeah, him and Chelsea would be awesome. Hey, T.
Yeah?
What's in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser.
Waiting for my invite. News.
Teresa, we could go see Fool's Gold or something.
It's a date.
Definitely, maybe.
Maybe second time.
Joel's just walked into the building. We'll be doing his clips from the best show on TV. Just ask Chelsea Handler's 9-foot head that's over his old billboard. The soup, we'll do that in a couple of few. But first, the news, T. What do you think?
This story from our content partner at MSN.com. The FBI apparently has someone in custody in connection to a number of letters sent to members of Congress following yesterday's explosion in New York City's Times Square. CNN cites federal officials as saying Los Angeles area FBI agents are questioning a, quote, person of interest. Despite questioning the person of interest about the letters, they say that person is not a suspect in the bombing of the Armed Forces Recruitment Center in Times Square yesterday morning. You may have already heard this on the news. The letters contain the words, "We did it," and include a picture of the recruitment station.
The guy did the crime from a bicycle.
Yeah.
You want to talk about low rent in the crime department? That ain't Al-Qaeda. We don't have to worry about that organization. That's a guy in a Huffy who chucked a grenade at a recruiting center. And by the way, I know everyone's nuts about Big Brother everywhere, but then when you see the film of the guy doing it, it's kind of satisfying, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're all freaked out. I don't want the man listening on my cell phone conversations. Hey, I don't want Big Brother looking over my shoulder with this Patriot Act and finding out my emails or my personal whatevers. But then when you see the camera and you go, ooh, there's the guy on the bicycle, and we get a, and maybe another camera can get a shot of his face. Don't we like that?
That's the good side.
That's the good side of the Big Brother. Downside of Big Brother,
when
everyone,
I have to defecate in the street.
That's right. Everybody you know has been hauled off to a gulag somewhere because of an email they sent several years ago, right?
Of course.
How big was the bomb?
Evidently not big enough to do much damage, and certainly not big enough to close down the entire...
It shattered a window, it cracked a glass door, it shut down the subway for a little while.
I feel like I had fireworks that were way more dangerous.
Yes, in the eighth grade. Here's where it was. Marginally bigger than that Light Bright they hung from the Cartoon Network three years ago that the bomb squad got their panties in a bunch over. And again, I would hate to be condescending, but I would be the most condescending mayor of any city, which would be, hey, police squad, bomb squad, rescue workers, here's how you know this isn't an actual emergency. You guys are here. You see, if this was an actual emergency, there would be buildings down and thousands of people dead. You see, you guys, here's how you know the Light Bright bomb is not an actual bomb. You found it before it went off. It's a catch-22.
And then they started finding them in every city, and they did nothing.
Yeah, that's what Al-Qaeda does a lot of that. They like to dress their bombs up garishly.
Can you go into the cop voice taking down the Light Bright, or maybe?
Okay, what I'm going to need you to do for me right now is go ahead and step off of the overpass, okay, right now. Hey, Mr. Light Bright, hey, Mr. Illuminated Peg shaped as Mr. Potato Head. What I'm going to need you to do for me right now is to go ahead and unilluminate yourself for me, okay, right now? Okay, what I'm going to need you to do for me right now is go ahead and unplug yourself right now, or go ahead and reconfigure yourself into the shape of a windmill, okay, right now, or my name right now with just my last initial, okay, right now, because there's not enough room, okay, right now, on the Light Bright pegboard, all right, okay, right now. Okay, ma'am, what I'm going to need you to do for me, okay, right now, is to go ahead. I love the go ahead part. I love when they say go ahead. Like, if they said license and registration, you'd just go, huh?
Yes, they are. There are those things.
Yes, I've heard of both of those items. Why? What's next?
They're in my glove compartment.
Like, if I didn't add okay right now or go ahead, if I didn't say go ahead, like if I said, what I need you to do for me right now is give me your license and registration. Okay, right now. Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Now you know that's your call to action.
These letters to Congress were actually mailed several days before the bombing, so it just turns out to be a very ugly coincidence, according to law enforcement.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. In eighth grade, I could go to an Indian reservation in, as they are called, in Washington State and buy a tennis ball with a fuse in it, mm-hmm. and it was full of gunpowder.
Yes, I know.
And they could care. If you had the $10, you could buy the gunpowder-filled tennis ball.
I'll tell you, we used to go camping once a year in Mexico with all my construction buddies, and you would just drive to a beach, park your four-wheel drive trucks, and just camp out for 3 days just on the sand in a lawless land. And we would always stop by a fireworks stand. And here's... Fireworks are not inherently dangerous. The human mind is dangerous, and it gets bored even with M80s very quickly. And here's what ends up happening. First move, put the M80 in the corner on the sand, get a long stick, light the fuse, and have everyone run and hide behind a block or a giant rock, I should say. That then leads into, what if we took the M80, twisted the fuse up with the bottle rocket, taped the M80 to the bottle rocket, and then fired it out into the ocean.
Yeah.
Starts getting marginally more dangerous. At a certain point, 2 hours later, you're holding a beer and you're lighting the M80 off a cigarette that's in your mouth,
yeah.
and talking to a guy next to you saying, I'm going to let the fuse get just low enough so that it'll blow up in the air when I toss it at Frank, who's napping in the bed of the F-150. That's when fingers get blown off. It's not the fireworks. It's the progression. It's what yeah. you decide to do with them. The first one you light off, no problem. Light it and run. Eventually, you think it'd be a great idea to shove it into a mailbox, to shorten the fuse, to light it off a Tipperillo. That's when the trouble begins. Sorry, T.
On to sports news.
Mm.
Brett Favre
yes.
retired yesterday.
Tangent.
And he had a very tearful, as
I
you
knew
predicted.
It. I love it when white guys retire.
Here is Brett Favre's tearful retirement press conference.
No problem, still didn't get emotional. I'd like to thank the Packers.
First mistake.
For giving me
you
an
never
opportunity
promise yourself
well.
You wouldn't yeah. cry. You always renege
That's
on
a
that
guarantee.
Promise. Guarantee. Guarantee. All
he
right.
is a quitter.
I hope that every penny that they've spent on me, they know it was money well spent. It was never about the money or fame or the records. And I hear people talk about your accomplishments and things that it was never my accomplishments. It was our accomplishments and the teammates that I played with, and I can name so many. It was never about me. It was about everybody else.
Many people very sad. I know you're a fan, right, Joel?
Anything that will make the Seahawks have a better chance of winning.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That's what I say.
Yeah, so if he died in a plane accident, he'd be jubilant
that would be.
Over it.
Well, wasn't he going to... I thought the team was very good last year.
Yes.
The Seahawks lost at Green Bay, right? In the...
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Would you watch that game?
Green Bay was 3-13, but lost at home in, you know, sub-freezing temperature to the Giants, which everyone thought they would win
yeah.
because Favre... there's two kisses of death, by the way, I've learned in society.
One is Adam bets on you.
I promised I wouldn't cry, number one. Number two, they do that thing where Favre is 22-0 when the temperature is under 33 degrees at Lambeau, and
right.
it's 21 degrees. Nope, that's always the first loss. Whenever they make that announcement, you know, whenever they go, for the last 19 years, the two teams in the NFL that played John Madden football,
right.
the video game before, the team that won was the team that went on to win this. Whenever they announce that, this is always then the year that doesn't yeah. happen.
I want to know the room of statisticians that have to come up with the crazy stats like that.
I don't know, but I know there's a lot of guys who aren't getting laid who come up with those stats. That would be the most staggering stat. When is the last time you statisticians got laid? Oh, boy. You'd hear the numbers crunching.
It was below 20 degrees. Okay.
All right.
On to news about Patrick Swayze. You may have heard there are various internet reports that have surfaced that he only has 5 weeks to live. His people are saying that's not true. He does have pancreatic cancer. Inside Edition is saying that his pancreatic cancer may have been caused by a 3-pack-a-day smoking habit. This is not the first time Swayze smoking has jeopardized his health. Back in 2000, Swayze nearly crashed his private plane. He had to make an emergency landing on a dirt road in Prescott, Arizona. And according to Inside Edition, the National Transportation Safety Board said part of the reason for the crash was that Swayze was physically impaired due to carbon monoxide byproducts. They blame the buildup of those byproducts on both the plane's engine and on Swayze's smoking habit.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Well, hold on. He was smoking when he did it, and was Keanu Reeves in that plane, too? Because I think I saw that movie.
Yeah, it does sound like a movie, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Point Break.
They were over Lake Mead.
Yeah.
He was talking about the ultimate rush.
Johnny,
I guess,
Utah.
You must have carbon monoxide byproducts in your system if you're smoking 3 packs a day.
So he was smoking in the cockpit and from the engine?
It sounds to me like there was just buildup in his body from previous smoking.
So one could handle, a healthy Joel McHale could handle a certain amount of carbon monoxide put out by a Cessna engine.
Right.
Because he's in good health. But if he was already at a saturation level with carbon monoxide, and then... He's a very versatile man. He loves civil aviation, smoking, and dance. I would say that is a well-rounded man.
You have two of those three in common.
That's true.
Wait, does that mean that Bonaducci would pass out if he was mowing the lawn?
From what I understand.
From the build-up in a small engine?
The American Cancer Society says smoking is responsible for about 1/3 of pancreatic cancer deaths. And again, Swayze's reps continue to deny that he's going to be dying anytime soon. They say the cancer was caught early, it has not spread, and the prognosis is good. Meanwhile, the entertainment shows, of course, needed to get comment from various people. Seemingly have very little connection to Patrick Swayze.
Can I say this? I know we do this, and I know it's important to do, and people want their privacy and so on and so forth, and those of us who are old enough to remember can remember Michael Landon, who had pancreatic cancer, going on The Tonight Show, what seemed like 10 or 15 minutes before he died, and giving a jovial interview. If I knew I had 5 weeks to live, I would go on a ass kiss my ass, give it up sexually, sort of farewell tour.
Right.
I would certainly not be downplaying it. I would be working the other. If somebody said, you know, if my doctor pulled me aside and said, look, you have 5 weeks to live, I'd say, quiet, I'm going to say 3 weeks, and I'm going to go around and do stuff that I've only, first off, Julianne Hough, are you listening, baby?
Oh, boy.
We would be doing a lot more than dance this afternoon. That's number one. I would be laughing all the way to prison with a huge smile on my face.
Would you crash a Ferrari?
I would take my Ferrari, I would douse it in gasoline and $100 bills and burn it in front of an orphanage and laugh hysterically. There would be so many things I would have on my to-do list, but it would not be, I'm going to play this down and then quietly drift off in my sleep 4 weeks from now at home. Wouldn't you go on a... Here's how everyone...
Coke binge skydiving trip?
Yes. I wouldn't do the coke before I jumped out of the plane. I would attempt to do it all.
Here's a sincere answer to that question. I think when you are told you have a serious and possibly fatal illness, I think there's a strong urge to keep the status quo in your life and to keep your schedule as it was. I think he was shooting a movie. He probably wants to continue shooting the movie.
Hold on, Adam. If I were to skydive first, then I could release a cloud of cocaine
underneath me, and I would sail.
You could go
through
right
the coke. All right. No, I
maybe
don't.
We should just do that.
Here's what it is: you open 5 kilos of good coke, and I jump 10 seconds later and just sail through it, nostrils ablaze. Yes. Yes, what T is saying is, in a way, your perception of yourself is almost the perception of others. And if everyone says, oh my God, you're dying, then it will sink into you that you're dying. But still, a doctor, I would tend to believe, yes?
If they tell you you're dying.
Right. So where are we now? Do we think he really has... And by the way, this pancreatic cancer is a death sentence.
It has a very low survival rate. However, there are many different forms of pancreatic cancer, and some are more easily treated than others. Obviously, his people think that they caught it early and that it can be treated.
All right.
And he would like to go on as usual. Now, the entertainment shows caught up with some celebrities on the red carpet.
Oh, this is going to be good.
One of which was Dick Van Dyke, who, as you pointed out, mentioned that, what's his name? Who the guy you just said?
Michael Landon.
Yeah, mentioned that Michael Landon died of the same thing. So that's not very upbeat.
Yeah.
Here they caught up with Ray Romano and Shannon Elizabeth, who were just minding their own business at Sardi's on the red carpet, celebrating Alzheimer's research.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy. He's a really nice guy. I hear good things about him, so I'm really pulling for him.
Patrick, we all love you. Get well soon.
Yeah. She's a delight.
You'll be competing against her.
I'm sad to say I met Swayze once, and he was an a-hole to me.
What? What happened?
I can't help it. I do think he was smoking. I was at a restaurant. I was at my restaurant, which I own 1% of, but I still call my restaurant because I'm
Amalfi.
So hard. Amalfi. And I was sitting there with Damashek, the old sports guy from the show, and a couple other guys, and all guys that were nuts for Point Break and Red Dawn and all that stuff. And the next thing you know, somebody looks out on the sidewalk, and there he is standing alone smoking a cigarette. And we went, oh, my God, it's Patrick Swayze. I'd never met the man. So we all rushed out, and I led the charge because I thought maybe I'd get a little celebrity cush in here. So I said, hey, Mr. Swayze, I'm Adam Carolla, and that's my buddy Dave, my buddy Kevin, and we're all just huge fans and wanted to say hi. And he said, hi. And there's like a four Mississippi, and he said, sort of looked down and continued smoking. And we said, oh, well, we won't disturb you any further. We just want to say we're big fans. And he kind of looked at us and went, good. And we all slunk or slinked back into the restaurant and sat down.
Shut up.
Now, he doesn't deserve this, and that doesn't mean he's a bad guy, but that's the only encounter I had.
I'm like, I'm so sorry that you put yourself on film. And they put you in a bunch of theaters that everybody saw and everyone knows you. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, I understand what it's like to be bothered, but I just thought he might see the three or four guys.
Have you ever treated anyone like that?
Here's the thing about treating
people. Other than me?
Here's the thing about treating people like that. The people that do it don't know it. So I'm sure there are many people that would say, I saw Adam Carolla at the airport. I went up and said hi, and he was an a-hole. In my mind, I was in a rush, and I just said hi as I walked past them under my breath. It's all about how they interpret it. So in my mind, and in Patrick Swayze's mind, I am sure he didn't go home and say to his wife, hey, guess what? Three 40-year-old white guys came up to me today, and I was an a-hole to them. He said, I went out. Well, he didn't say anything.
Yeah.
It didn't register. That's the whole thing. It never registers. Otherwise, you'd have to kill yourself. You'd have to go, hey, I'm an a-hole. So, again, feel sorry for him. And I also feel bad that's the only time I've ever met the man.
Well, I'll leave you with this. Whoopi Goldberg took the opportunity of Patrick Swayze's unfortunate illness to make it all about her.
You have a very special relationship with him
yes,
because of the film Guts.
I do. Because when I won my Academy Award, the only person I really thanked was Patrick. I totally forgot to thank the director, whom I also love, which was Jerry Zucker. But I remembered to thank Patrick because had he not said to Jerry Zucker, I'm not making this movie unless you put Whoopi Goldberg in there.
That's, what he said.
That's how I got the job.
Did he know you?
Who?
I've done that with who?
She got confused.
I've done that with Whoopi, too, except for it's gone. I'm not making this movie unless Whoopi Goldberg is out of this movie. It's just
you've had to have that negotiation.
And that's why she's not in the Hammer?
That's right. She was originally slated to play my trainer, but she's out.
A lot of big studios wanted to make the Hammer, but they insisted on using Whoopi.
And yeah. Adam said nope.
Yep. Yeah.
Independent.
Bald Brian pointed out to me, I think, last week that she won for Ghost the year Lorraine Bracco was nominated for Goodfellas.
Go home and get your fucking shine box.
I have not stopped vomiting since.
It would have been one thing if that was the only good actress she beat out, but there were four far superior actresses.
Yes, she beat out Annette Bening for The Grifters that year, and I can't remember who else, and I'm still now vomiting.
You didn't like Ghost.
I did not like Ghost. It does not hold up. It is not a good movie. It isn't. It's sappy and crappy and very 80s. Go ahead, everyone. Watch The Grifters. Do me a favor. Watch The Grifters. Watch Goodfellas. And then watch Ghost.
Yeah,
and you tell me...
Well, Goodfellas was so screwed that year that it didn't get Best Picture.
Of course it was. I don't know who it lost out to or what it lost out to.
I lost a Short Circuit.
Oh, wow.
Short that's Circuit, too.
With Gutenberg.
Speaking of short circuits, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news sponsored by MSN. Have you been to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
Was Gutenberg in Short Circuit? Because
yes.
Yeah, I forgot to make fun of him about that.
Ali Sheedy, come on.
I've been focusing on Police Academy thus far. Now I'm going to start round two with Short Circuit. I forgot about that.
All right, we
will take ourselves a break. The
military robot gone awry becomes nice.
I know.
Johnny Five.
And then does all... And by the way, what's his name from... Michelle Pfeiffer fame plays the Eastern Indian guy. Different guy. The actor, white guy, painted in brown.
I know exactly. I can see him.
And has a weird first name that's like a
Ben
last
Kingsley.
Name.
Parker. We talking about species all of a sudden?
Parker something. Somebody help us. The guy lived with Michelle Pfeiffer. Got busted for cheating on Michelle Pfeiffer, I do believe. And by the way, if he can cheat, and listen up, ladies, if that guy, who's not an attractive man, can go ahead and cheat on Michelle Pfeiffer in her prime, then any man can cheat on any woman at any time.
Like Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind cheated on Charlize Theron.
Oh.
A young
Charlize really?
Theron.
Fisher
Stevens.
Fisher. Okay, that was good. Yeah, we had the Stevens. We had the last name part.
I almost said Parker Lewis, then I realized that was a fictional character.
He painted himself brown, and he was like, Johnny Five is very smart. It was kind of, they should have just got an Indian guy to play that role.
Yeah. Remember the time in the 50s when every Asian person was played by a white person?
And American Indians. Yeah, the
good
old days.
I want to mention, before we go to break... We always think of Joel McHale as one of the nicest people in showbiz.
Shut up.
Almost like a Gutenberg. But someone on the phone has a different story, and maybe we can hear it.
Oh, great.
Wow. Someone was an ass. Joel was an ass to one of our callers. All right, hang on 1 second. And also, and get ready with the tangent thing, but you bring up the Stephen Jenkins was the lead singer, Third Eye Blind.
Tangent.
It was about 10 years ago during a break when we were doing Loveline. He pulled me aside. Obviously, something was weighing heavy on his mind.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I cheated on my girlfriend when I was in Mexico. And she caught me and she busted me and then she broke up with me. And I'm kind of heartbroken over it. And I'm like, what's her name? She's like Charlize Theron. And I'm like, well, never heard of her, but you're in a rock band, dude. So go out there. The world is your oyster.
That was the moment. You know how like when one angle's going up, the other one's going down. They met at that exact moment. And
right.
She kept going up.
So
kept going
somebody up. Thought Charlize, a 19-year-old Charlize Theron, was not enough woman for them, and somebody thought a 29-year-old Michelle Pfeiffer was not quite hot enough for them. We'll take ourselves a break.
Tangent.
World-class a-hole, Joel McHale.
Yeah.
In studio. So says John on line one. We'll do that. We'll play some clips from The Soup, and we'll do it next.
Can't wait.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
This is the future of radio, and you know you're listening to it because you're never tardy. This is 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hey, if it's Adam Carolla all day, you gotta have some crank yankers, right? Here's another great one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
What's Stock Hardware, Nick speaking.
Hi, Nick. Hope you can help me out here. I'm in a bit of a jam here.
Okay.
My kids, they crazy glued the toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty embarrassing. I'm sitting here stuck on the toilet seat.
Well, let me see. I know we've got a solvent for that, but I think what you're probably going to end up having to do is you might end up calling paramedics.
Look, Nick, this between you and me.
I'm not going to say a word to anybody.
Now, come on, Nick. Think, man. I feel you can help me out of here.
I'll do what I can.
I'm getting scared because, you know, if that stuff can hold a construction worker up by his hard hat, it definitely ain't going to let go of me and my ass. Ooh, Nick,
wait,
hold up. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Ooh, I'm so embarrassed, but I had to go. I'm sorry. All right, now what'd you say, Nick?
Acetone. It's a very caustic substance. It's pretty heavy duty.
What, so it's like a salve for your ass?
Never really thought of it like that.
Okay, and you have that there at your store?
We do.
Oh, well, Nick, okay, that problem solved. Come on over. Bring some of that over here and rub it on my behind parts, and man, I'll be up and out.
Well, the thing is I don't want to end up doing more damage that's already been done.
Nick, I got a toilet seat stuck to my ass. You can't do no more damage than that. Nick, you get to see me naked. I work out. I got a six-pack and a toilet seat. Be like Abraham Lincoln and come over here and set me free. Come emancipate my ass.
Problem is, I don't drive.
I'm going to send a cab over there to you.
I'm sorry, but I absolutely
can't. Nick, you can do this. Look, have confidence in your abilities, Nick. You go grab that ass salve and you march out that door with your head up high, hop in that cab. You make your way right here and set my ass free. Okay, come on.
I'm absolutely not.
Free my ass. Free my ass. Thank God Almighty, I'm going to free my ass.
I really think for your safety, it's going to be best if professionals handle it.
My sticky ass is your destiny, baby. This is your job. You know, every now and then, God sends you a job to do. This is your job. Who knows? I could be an angel. Wait a minute. Hey, I'm off. Okay, never mind. Thanks, Nick.
No problem. Glad to see you're off.
What's up? I'm Joe Rogan, and you are listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD. Now, there's not a whole lot of people listening, so you're amongst rare company. This is a privileged few that are listening to this super cool HD radio thing that you're listening to right now. You're ahead of the curve.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, don't try funny.
TV talk.
What would you say to other kids who were thinking of partying when their parents are out of town?
Get me to do it for you.
Get you to do it for you. Not don't do
it. Best party ever so far. That's what everyone's been saying, so.
Well, we've got to go, but I suggest you go away and take a good, long, hard look at yourself.
With the Soup's Joel McHale.
I have. Everyone has. They love it.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
I have. Everyone has. I love it.
I would like, you know what I like to do?
Blood transfusion from that kid.
Oh. His blood into my veins.
He's 16 years old.
16. I love that kid.
Just think how awful he was to his parents.
Joel McHale in studio. The Soup on E, 10 o'clock on Fridays. All right, and replayed throughout the week as well. He has clips to bring, or has brought clips, and we'll hear those. But first, John from Las Vegas. John?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Ran into Joel McHale, did you?
Yeah, it was about a year ago at the Palms. I was, I think he was there doing the Playboy comedy tour.
I was doing the stand-up,
And me and a couple of my friends were walking through the casino at about, I don't know, midnight, and I looked over and I thought, hey, who's the guy with the brown suit and the bright pink shirt on?
And that's Joel.
And I realized it was Joel McHale, so I walked over there, me and my buddies, and he was kind of walking through with his head down, and I went in front of you, and I was like, hey, man, you're Joel McHale. I love your show. I love The Soup. And my buddy's like, yeah, I always hear you on Adam Carolla. And he looks up, and I go to, like, shake his hand, and he just kind of, like, like shudders away to the side and goes, okay, guys.
Well,
that's...
First of all, hi, boy. I don't own any pink shirts, so that... You completely wrong about that.
But by the way...
And second of all...
Is that an attack?
I don't know what the... Yeah, the, I think they... I don't remember the incident.
Well, John, did he say thank you?
No, nothing. He just...
Is there a possibility that maybe your party was a bunch of screaming drunk guys?
Just apologize, Joel.
Is there possible that it may be in Las Vegas? They were screamingly drunk and went, hey!
Hey, Shoop! Hey! I got a clip for you!
Oh, you're great! And then I was more on the, you know, defensive.
It's funny, though, because whenever you come on Corolla and my buddy's in the car... He always looks at me and goes, that guy's an ass.
Yeah.
On your way to the loading dock that you work at.
Oh, wow.
Dish. Uh-oh, it's coming wow. out. You don't like working class people, Joel? What do you have against that?
No, it's a really nice loading dock.
He calls them little people. Hey, Joe. I mean, hey, John, where do you work?
I own a pool servicing company.
Oh, yeah.
I will let you build me a pool. Can you make it up? We'll
he
make it
services.
Up. I'll make it up to you that way.
He basically skims things and bangs hot housewives all day. Thanks, yeah. John.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Right on.
I have heard, I have had this happen quite a few times, and it's not always the celebrity's fault, but I have done the thing where, you know, you're sitting in an airport bar, somebody sidles up next to you, hey, it's Adam Carolla, hey, you start talking, you drink a beer, you have another beer, you talk for 20 minutes, you go back and forth, and then at a certain point you go, well, excuse me, I got to use the bathroom. It's like, oh, okay, your highness,
yeah.
Can't talk to the... It's like, we have a half hour of discussion underneath our belt, and I drank three beers, and now I got to take a leak. That's not exactly a slap in the face to the common man.
Yeah.
So sometimes people get drunk and see things through that prism. Let's see. Someone was a jerk to Joel.
Yeah.
But he was still a nice guy.
Oh.
Aaron?
Yes, Adam.
Calling from Joel's hometown of Seattle. What happened?
Well, first off, I want to say Joel, Des Moines, Washington misses you, buddy. You need to come back.
All right.
Yeah, E agrees,
I
by the way.
I founded Des Moines.
The E Network bought him a yeah. one-way bus ticket just yesterday and begged him.
I don't know if E reaches Des Moines at this point.
No, that's why. That's what I'm talking about. They actually like you to go back.
Aaron, what did you do to Joel?
More room for Seacrest, they said.
A billboard of Chelsea there, too.
Joel was on a TV show up here called Almost Live.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked about two blocks away from the TV station that he was at. And one day I met him on the sidewalk going the other direction. And for the life of me, I could not recall his name. And I was like, hey, dude from Almost Live. And Joel said, hey, complete stranger on the sidewalk.
Yes, he always funny. And always
he
honest.
He was very gracious, and I felt real bad for not being able to recall his name.
All right, well,
thank you,
Aaron.
Will you go talk to that John guy in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Hey, Mikhail, Keister, Guppy, and Cashman, all say hello.
Oh. Well, hi, boy.
World's worst law firm.
I don't want Guppy representing me against a big fish.
I don't want Keister representing me.
In that sodomy suit.
Yes.
Those people, those three people, they were on that show Almost Live, and they were, those people walked up, they are mobbed by people there.
Guppy, yeah. Keister, and?
Cashman. Yeah.
Are you still friendly with these?
Yes. Oh. I still know them.
Keister's like, listen, we are going to bend your client over and take them for everything they have.
Cashman collects.
Don't, by the way, Cashman hides that in Keister. All right. Keister's the Cashman.
To my friend. What happened? You were saying there was a...
Somebody Keistered a Guppy and was paid how much cash?
No, you were horrible to your friends. Some sort of horrible rape.
All right. So we have a clip from The Soup. He made it out of a small town in Seattle and has now risen to mediocrity and basic cable.
Yeah.
On a little show called The Soup, everybody. First clip, please.
All right. Tyra Banks, Adam. Mm. She interviewed.
Love her.
Janet Jackson.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of big black asses.
I don't think it's that. I think I'm somewhere in the middle.
No, Janet, you have a big ass. But I think I have a big ass, too. But mine has, like, dimples, and mine goes down. Yours is a back, and then it just pops out of nowhere. I want
so maybe
your butt.
It makes it...
That is black on black, blowhard on blowhard crime right there.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, that's actually one of the best interview questions Tyra's ever asked.
That's true.
And then she pinned her down. You do have a big ass.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of big black asses.
By the way, does the boyfriend of Janet Jackson,
Jermaine Dupri,
does he just seem like a lox or a load or something? He seems to be dragged to every event. He never has anything to say.
I gotta say, I don't even know what he looks like or even sounds like.
Well, I don't like when you demean lox.
Yes, sorry.
A load is fine.
Sorry, my Jewish princess.
How dare you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's spelled the same way, but he just seems miserable and dragged along, and she always seems miserable, too. And it's one of these things that's weird, which is, what business are you in? Why in it? And why are you always miserable? And I suppose I should find a mirror and ask myself the same question. But is there anyone who has a worse sense of humor than Janet Jackson? Or did she find her soulmate in Jermaine Dupri in terms of no personality meets no sense of humor?
I feel like she's the, out of all the Jacksons, has the most personality out of all of them, even though it might not be.
Really? More than LaToya?
Well, but that, I mean, not the insane personality.
Yeah, that's
more
that's
charm.
Eccentric.
The most charm, you'd say.
I don't know.
All right, well, what do we got
Well,
next?
Then, Tyra started talking to Janet about taking whore baths.
Oh, I know what that is.
What is a whore bath?
Well, it's called many things. Many of them contain ethnic slurs, so I won't use those. But a hooker shower is when you wash your pits.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of swab down
Like a French whore.
Yeah, put some perfume and wash the pits.
Would you like me to draw you a whore bath, Dee?
You spritz on a little Gina Tay, you wash the pits, and maybe you wash down below.
I see. So that's the quickie. You had a one-night stand. You're going into the office. You don't want the stink of sex on you, but you don't have time to go by your apartment and shower.
That's it, exactly.
You don't need to explain it to me.
All right. Whore bath. All
so
right.
Here we go.
How many days in a row do you do a whore bath?
Oh, no. That's
just one day.
That's my one day. Yeah.
Nice. Can I smell you?
Leaning into her armpit at this point.
Can I
baby
say that?
We'll be right back.
Wasn't this Jenny McCarthy's act in the mid 90s?
Yes.
Which is, I'm a really hot chick, but I'm going to gross it up with the boys. Like, Jenny McCarthy would come out, she'd do an interview, and she's like, yeah, I blew a snot rocket onto my hirachi the other day, and a dog licked it off, and then I let a fart go, but it didn't come from my ass. And you're like, baby, how about you just get in a bikini and shut the F up so I can masturbate?
Yes, all of those stories are punctuated with a burp. We're supposed to think that's cute.
Right, yeah. So body. Look, Tyra, please get those angel wings back on, get into the panties, and start shaking your ass.
This woman is also...
I am trying to masturbate over here, and I don't want to hear about your whore bath.
Hillary Clinton, John Edwards have to go win on her show because Oprah won't have them.
Right.
So this is it's great.
So they have to go on her show because they have to find the black audience, but she is going for Obama, so she's not going to give any publicity to the other competition.
And so with John Edwards, she's like, what's on your iPod? And it's those sort of great questions. Oh, how much money's in your wallet? Those are the actual questions she asked. Great.
Hard hitting.
Horrible.
All right.
All right. So now, Bizarre Foods with Jeff Zimmern. Zimmern?
Which one?
This is on Deep Cable?
It's on the Food Network.
Is he one of these guys that eats bugs and things?
Yeah, ants and stuff.
This is worse.
Mm-hmm.
Our server fills this hot pot with tortoise, seahorse, and herbs. Wow. Then she adds a variety of penises that will cook in just a few minutes.
Then Joe Rogan shows up with a film crew.
Oh, that one is so chewy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just melts in your mouth.
Hey,
I like the yak penis best of all.
The
snake penis is much softer and less fibrous than I thought it would be.
The penis dishes are cooked to order. Next, trying deer penis sliced and fried.
You had preconceived notions about the texture of different animals' penises? Because I've never got that far in the penis department. Oh, I could tell you what Kimmel's tastes like, but that's about it. Well, did I say Kimmel? I meant a camel.
Right.
You said Kimmel.
I clearly said camel.
No, you didn't.
Check the tape. I'm pretty sure I said camel penis.
Tangent.
Is that what he calls it?
No, Julianne Hough, Adam's dance partner, now has a code word. You know what a safe word is?
Yeah, I went on the Jimmy Kimmel Show on Wednesday. Thank you. And this is one of the first things he told me about. He was like, Juliana yells out tangent. Because Adam only dances for about 2 hours. He goes to dance practice, only dance for 20 minutes.
And then a long conversation about dance.
I like to exercise my jaw. And yeah, she has a safe word and a rape whistle. Those are the only two things.
That's
the only two things she brings
to
practice.
So it's just yelling tangent and then the sound of the whistle. And then back to tangent. Do you go on a tangent in the middle of the rape?
Well, I replaced it with a dog whistle the other day.
Tangent.
So the dogs come running?
Don't get me started on them.
Her boyfriend must love you. Love you.
She has a boyfriend. Does a boyfriend ever come to dance practice?
Yeah, he picks her up every day.
He picks her up every single day.
I would too.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I would
roll out a carpet.
I would have her on one of those infant leashes that you know when you bring your 3-year-old to the mall.
Yeah.
That's what I would have her on.
I would have one of those invisible fencing collars. And
I would
you could
too.
Just hit it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Jimmy told me that immediately when almost before the interview began, he was whispering in my ear, tangent.
Jimmy's an interesting fella because Jimmy never gets tired of making fun of me for talking as if my job is working a conveyor belt over at the, Kenner factory where I'm putting plastic heads on top of dolls.
In Indonesia?
I do. Well, my point is I have a job where I talk for a living. It's not such a bad deal.
And when you're off duty, quiet as a mouse.
Church mouse. Well, no, it's like finding a guy in the NBA and making fun of him for being tall.
Yeah.
It's part of the gig.
It's not just a vocation, it's a calling.
Right. All right.
But now, to go with the basketball analogy, say you were, I don't know.
A point guard?
No. Say you did go skydiving, but during the skydiving, you brought a basketball with you.
And we're
trying to practice
falling
through the sky.
Right. Yeah, I don't have an off season.
Yeah.
I wish.
Okay.
All right. So that's it. Let's just move right on to Millionaire Matchmaker.
Yeah. I watched the show.
Do you really?
I do.
So this is where one of the worst people in the world finds millionaires and then hooks them up with gold diggers.
Mm-hmm.
And
she was in here. She was a nice lady.
Was she?
Mm-hmm.
She was actually really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You liked her, right, Adam?
Yeah. No, I watch the show and I've sort of turned the corner on that and all the internet stuff. I used to think it was pathetic, and now I realize, well, there's rich guys that for some reason can make millions of dollars and do great in business and have no idea how to interact with women. And then there's a bunch of women that want to meet guys who have money, so why not put them together? Now, maybe it's like saying, well, there's a bunch of guys who want to do coke and a bunch of guys who sell coke, and I'm just the guy who puts them together, so don't blame me. But I don't think it's quite that bad.
Yeah, she did have one vaguely anti-Semitic jag I didn't like, but other than that, I loved her.
She didn't like Jewish women.
Yeah, that was a little upsetting. But
she's a self-hating Jew.
Yeah, a lot of us hate ourselves, but that was a little tough to hear. But beyond that, I thought she was nice.
That to me, that's when the series become really interesting,
mm-hmm.
is if she became really anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
And continued to hook people up, but then would, throw up. I won't even go into it.
All right,
here we go. Go ahead, run it.
Matching is not about the money. Sales is about the money. Matching is about finding two people, bringing them together in harmony, hoping they fall in love, and then walking away from it and getting your karmic credits in heaven. Okay, you don't get paid for this. This is God's work.
Right, except for she gets paid a bunch of money to do it, right?
Yeah. And she's
one
not,
doesn't, but
right.
she does.
She's
all right.
taking... Yeah.
And it's God's work, so maybe she's a Jew for Jesus. We need to take ourselves a break. Joel McHale.
When we come back, Flava Flav. You know how we always joke about there being venereal diseases on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now there is venereal diseases on the show.
Really?
Potentially.
All right. Flava Flav next, Joel McHale. Next, Will Arnett. One of the more versatile actors and good guys. Good all-around guys.
A rapist.
Does a lot of voiceover work. I'll explain that drop in a moment. Will Arnett, Joel McHale, Soup, and you all next on The Adam Carolla Show.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, your station for wall-to-wall Adam Carolla. Face it, you love crank anchors. Well, here's another one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
This is Ashley.
Hi, Ashley. My name's Bertram.
Hi.
Hi there. You have a swimming program for kids?
It's for people 15 and older.
Mm-hmm. I might be able to beat you on a technicality here. My kids are conjoined. They're Siamese.
Uh-huh.
And they're 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
So their combined age is 16, and I think we got you now because we beat the 15 cutoff there.
Okay.
They're performers. They perform in the circus. They don't know how to swim, and it's important to me that they stay alive.
Uh-huh.
They're my source of income.
Uh-huh.
Do they do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation?
I'm not sure if they would allow them to swim because they're combined age.
You ever deal with conjoined twins?
No, sir.
No, you have not. But they're just like you and me.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not like us.
They're just like if they crazy glued you and me together.
Yes, sir, I understand
they're
that.
Exactly the same. When you see the smiles on these kids' faces, you will light up because they light up a room. They light it up, baby.
Yes, sir.
All right.
If you can get the okay from the director, you know, you're more than welcome to bring them in.
But, Ashley, you're going to do what everyone has done to these kids their whole lives. You're going to pass them off. They're going to get some bureaucrat or some answering machine. And then the only water they'll feel on their body is their own tears as it rolls down their conjoined chest.
Sir, let me just tell you something real quick. I'm a social work major.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand where you're coming from.
You have conjoined twins yourself?
No,
you don't. Then you don't understand. You don't know what it's like to grow up with Tweedledee and Tweedledum. You don't understand the pain. You don't know what I've been through. I'm a veteran. I'm an American. And I don't deserve this.
Well, I know that. I'm not at all saying that you don't. I know you need a pool for them to be in.
I'm sorry, miss. I've been under a lot of pressure.
I understand that.
They wanted bunk beds this year. We had to get them two lower ones.
I know. It's very difficult.
One of them loves macaroni and cheese. The other one is lactose intolerant. Imagine what that's like every day.
I can't imagine because I've never dealt with it.
All right. I'm going to bring the kids by and dump them in the pool.
Okay.
I'll see you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Harlan Williams, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2HD, the FM talk station. And I'm talking. You're listening.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Can't get enough of Adam and Teresa? Well, you're in luck. Here's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
Now, here's a story about panties.
Listen, when I saw those big double D's popping out of my 14-year-old, I knew she had a career.
I've never been this happy.
I'm a hermaphrodite.
No!
I'm a card-carrying NAMBLA member.
No!
God is a liar, and it's okay to be gay.
What?
Let's go lynch some black people.
What?
Time to rotate the tires on my home.
Wah! I made him kiki.
What?
Well done, Brian.
That was Jeff Conaway's The Rusty Barn Hinge, by the way.
Yeah. We were speaking to him on the phone.
Hey, nice job, Dr. Drew. That guy's good as new.
Oh, man.
Hey, Jeff, how'd you enjoy doing Taxi?
I can't believe he did that on the phone.
It was good.
Like. He was that bombed at 8 in the morning.
I don't know that there is an hour that exists on any clock anywhere where Jeff Conaway is not completely blitzed out of his mind. Really, what we're going to have to do is just get hold of him and Gary Busey and... That's his answer. We're going to need to toss those two into an octagon.
Hey, Jeff Conaway, how was rehab with Dr. Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make it till the end.
All right. Well, Will right. Arnett is on his way in. We have.
A rapist.
What is that?
It's the greatest
oh, you'll
thing
come, you'll
ever.
You'll come to learn very well what that's all about.
Also, we have Joel McHale in here. Joel McHale not only hosts The Soup, but also plays the role of my father, who loves playing the trumpet and used to speak to me through the mouthpiece of his clarinet.
Right, because you and your father didn't have the best communication. Your father played the horn.
We didn't talk a lot, but he played the flugelhorn, and oftentimes when we did communicate, he would talk through the trumpet
now,
mouthpiece.
Now, have you told him about your latest career developments? Big news, Dancing with the Stars.
I did tell my dad I was going to be on Dancing with the Stars. He was not impressed. And then I said I had a movie called The Hammers coming out on the same week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Top Gear, big NBC primetime show?
Did not. Not an automotive enthusiast. But I remember as a young child when I wanted to borrow some money for my first car. I was 16. No, Dad, seriously. Look, I'll tell you what. No, Dad, sorry. Seriously, I had to stop laughing. Dad, let me explain something. How about I'll earn $1,000 mowing lawns, and then you match that $1,000 so I can buy a used pickup truck. No, Dad, I don't see anything wrong with it. What's funny? What's funny about a father chipping in for his son's first automobile? All right, then he finally regained his composure, and I said, look, if you could just lend me $500, I could put a down payment down and buy a used automobile, and then I would make the payment. I could make the payment. Well, I would need a cosigner. Dad, would you be willing to cosign?
Now, did your dad ever confer on any of these issues with Jeff Conaway?
Once in a while, he said, let me get my money from Taxi on the blower. Well, hold on. Then he put Jeff on speaker. And, yeah. I'd be like, Jeff, look, here's all I want. All I need is a cosigner. Dad, hear me out. You go down to Universal Nissan with me. You co-sign. I'll get a mini pickup truck. Then I'll take the payments. I'll take over the payments. It's just a co-sign, Dad. It's not going to cost you a penny. Then eventually, he'd hang up on Conway. He'd fall asleep.
With a trumpet still against his mouth, right?
He's on the mouthpiece.
He's
And then one time when I got suspended, he got called in. He was working, but he got called into Mr. Tomey, my counselor's office. And Mr. Tomey was like, your son Adam willfully disobeyed one of the rules here at North Hollywood High. Well, he said he had a lunch pass when in fact he did not. My dad was out. He had empty his spit pile three times. He was so mad. He left campus without a proper pass. That's right. Then he went home and took a nap again. Then he made sweet love to my stepmother.
Still with the trumpet.
Still had the mouthpiece.
So he does the pillow talk through the trumpet.
All right, and that was just one of the many conversations I remember having with my dad in high school.
I have only one last question for Mr. Carolla. You know, your son Adam has a big red carpet movie premiere at the Arclight. Mm. You must be so excited. Are you going to be there? What about Jeff Conaway? I mean, he's invited.
Wait a minute. What about Will Arnett? We invited Will Arnett. You going to be there?
Creepers.
All right. All right. We have a couple more clips to play from the very versatile Joel McHale.
Then you can bring the actual celebrity in here.
He'll be on Broadway doing a play called 226 Sundays and a Trumpet Mouthpiece. It's a one-man
show. It's a show about your relationship with your dad.
That's
76
right.
Trombone mouthpieces.
Much like Billy Crystal's show. Very moving.
All right, Joel, what else do we
All
got
right,
in the
let's get the
clip department?
On Flavor of Love this week. week, Skank Bachelor, a woman was accused of, she had a little outbreak on her upper lip, two spots, and the other skanks accused her of having herpes.
And what's up with that herpes on your lip?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. A bump on your lip? Scared of bumps. I'm scared of bumps.
The herpes looks like your ass is about to give birth to another herpes. Straight up. What's up with that flame? Please don't
kiss
her.
We
got other in here that need to be kissed. Don't get the disease. Spread it up and in some.
It's getting hot in here.
Right. Let me tell you something. A bunch of cameras and a whole bunch of black folk is not the place you want the herpes outbreak. You'd like to be in a place like Iceland with no cameras.
Yeah, where no one's going to point it out. By the way, I learned that the singular of herpes is herpy.
Herpy.
I didn't know that before I heard that clip.
It's not herpy?
You've got a herpy.
Mm-hmm. Bad times.
Yeah, so then...
Thank God Flava wears protection in the form of a Viking helmet. Because that'll stop that disease.
Right. It's protection. It is armor.
It technically is protection, yes.
Because Flav, I'm sure, has never had any venereal disease problems.
How could he? He'd have to have relationship with women physically, and he's never done that.
So they had a doctor come on and on camera biopsy her lip.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took the sample back, and it was the clock ceremony where... The results were read out loud by Flav, and this was the big, would she actually have herpes or would it be something else?
Mm-hmm.
Big Rick, envelope, please. Hotlanta has suffered from a mild outbreak of acne. The only thing I can say right now, Hotlanta, come get the clock.
I was just glad that everybody found out the truth, and really it made them look kind of stupid.
So it was a zit,
and he gave her a clock because of all that she went through, and she was glad the other women looked stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, her defending herself on national television of whether she had herpes or not, having her herpes or her acne biopsied on national television did not make her look stupid at all.
No.
You know, it'd be funny if you met, like, you're just somewhere and you met Flava Flav and he introduced you to his father and he was wearing a grandfather clock hanging around his neck. It'd be a good picture. We just get like an 80-year-old black guy with a grandfather clock hanging around his neck.
A full-size grandfather clock.
Full-size.
Just dragging it around.
Weighted
down.
They have a family tree at the bottom of the root. Is it kind of a sundial?
Right.
By the way, did you watch Survivor last night?
Young kid with a stopwatch.
Fans versus faves.
Did you see Survivor last night? Joel dragging around that guy? Oh, that was great. Speaking of dragging things around.
Mikhail, and speaking of Joel, is fresh out of clips, but if you want to see more of Joel and more of the clips, you can either go to E! Or you can go to Las Vegas and have him insult you to your face.
Don't cross me.
You can
I don't
even
have any
go
pink
to
shirts.
Ontario.
Yes. That's right. I'm sorry I don't have that plug. Toss it out. Would
tonight,
you
that is Friday through Sunday at the Ontario Improv. Two shows Friday, three shows Saturday. Improv.com for tickets.
Thank you. Good and news, everybody. Will Arnett. One of the most deceptively tall guys in show business.
If I
told you to close you, just tell me what. How tall do you think Will Arnett is?
6'1"?
6'3".
Wow.
T?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
should I have said 4'11"?
Yeah.
Would have been a better answer.
You just stepped on the whole bit.
Thanks, J.O. All right, we'll take a break.
Tequila.
Will Arnett.
I was going to go 7'1" and then Trump your story.
Will Arnett is
don't
coming
be
in
one
next.
Upper, like I said before.
Joel McHale, The Soup, and whatever comedy whoring he's doing in between.
Ouch.
Will Arnett in studio next.
Another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Brian Posehn.
Seriously, I do love New York. I love all the crazy street people you can see here. The free entertainment. I like any big city. I like any place where you can see a guy with a pants full of poo fighting a ghost. Right outside your hotel room. Come on, Mr. Lincoln. Come on. You're my favorite president. Come on. You know, whenever you see crazy people talking to themselves on the street, a lot of times they wouldn't look quite so nuts if they had somebody else with them. You know what I mean? See the guy walking down the street going, the chicken doesn't go woof, the chicken goes bok bok, the dog goes woof. Look completely in control if he had a kid right there.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
I'm Juliana Rancic, formerly DePandy, until I got married, and you are listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for People on the Radio with Large Heads, and that's why I love this place.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters nationwide, semi-pro.
Back out. All right. Right back. Right back. Here you go, champ. Back to you. You ready? Okay. Right back. Shoot. Woo. All right. Right on. Clear. Yeah. You ready? No. Right back. No. Yeah. Okay. Clear. All right. I'm going. My turn.
Yeah. I'll bet my alleged son he won't make this.
And now, Will Arnett is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Will.
Oh, just laughing at my own clip.
Semi-pro. In theaters as we speak. Will, I know some things about you. I know you're married to Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live.
Thank you.
I also know that you're...
Yes,
that you're in love with the act of rape. I know you're from Canada, but here's something on the list I did not know. Father was CEO of Molson Breweries. Is that true?
That is true.
So your dad worked for Molson, and does he still? And is that what he did when you were growing up?
No. Molson worked for my dad.
Wow.
Let's be clear about this.
And
yes. Yeah.
And now, how does that work? Is beer in the family? Was your dad a master brewer and worked his way up the brew ladder?
My dad was a world-class drunk, and he said, how do I parlay this? No, you know, he was a that happened when I was in my 20s, so I'd unfortunately already moved out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go home back to Canada, and it did mean free beer.
And how does it work for a young Will Arnett? How do you decide to get into comedy? What did you think you were going to be doing? Like, when you were in high school, where there's a point where you thought you were going to go into the family business or thought you were going to be an architect, or was it always showbiz or bust?
I didn't think... I'm pretty dumb. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have much of a plan, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in my... I decided I wanted to be an actor when I was in my 20s. You know, when you're in your 20s, you take yourself really seriously.
Right.
So I thought I was going to be a serious actor. So I went, like, you know, I'm going to go to New York and become this serious actor. And then nobody thought it was very good.
But they laughed.
They laughed. But they should have been crying.
Right. But they were laughing. But either way, you decided to stay in acting and just take it a different direction.
Yeah.
And were you in college, by the way? Did you leave? Did you ever study anything?
I went to college for a few months. In my first year, I was there for a few months taking... I was history. All I was doing was really just drinking and getting up to...
Well, sure, Dad, dropping off a case of Molson.
Is that where the rapist thing came from? Because I still don't know.
I did a bunch of promos for CBS that Adam wrote. I don't know how Adam got into the promo business over at CBS, but he was writing promos for Hack.
A rapist.
Right.
For some reason, and Dr. Drew never saw the humor in it, but
He
never enjoyed it, but I always had... I grew up in the 70s watching television, and every third episode of, like, Vegas, or every third episode of Hawaii 5-0, or every third episode of whatever was, in order to catch a killer, he must become a killer. Like, there was always that, if you want to catch a criminal, he has to. So it was a weird thing. So it would be like Beretta was going to have to infiltrate a biker gang and essentially become a biker in order to catch the what have you. For some reason, I don't know where I stumbled onto it, the show Hack. Very short-lived series.
He was a cabbie. He was a hack.
Right.
He was solving crimes.
He solved crime with the meter was running on crime. That's basically what was going on. So he solved crime driving a hack, and we laid down a few examples. I think Bald Brian has this.
This week on Hack, to catch a terrorist, Jack will have to become a rapist.
And by the way, I'd love to watch that show.
I would, too. And Drew would always go, I don't know what's funny about that. And I would always say, it's one of these things. It's like trying to explain why food is delicious to someone who's making a face who just took a bite of it. I don't know that there are words enough that can ever convince the person that that's delightful.
And Drew was always like, okay, now let's talk about this. Now, there's some, there's been some abuse there. And like, no, we're just doing a funny.
To reach these kids, Hack will have to become a rapist.
It's weird. It's weird that he always had to become a rapist. It's odd, but it works.
And then Drew would get angry that I would get angry at Drew for not finding the humor in my always become a rapist, and then he would jump in and ruin my joke. Like, so he'd go like, next, or do we have it?
This week on Hack.
Let me guess, he's going to be a rapist. Thanks, a-hole.
I love that you used to play it sometimes. I'd catch it every once in a while.
This week on Hack, to catch an international jewel thief, Hack is going to have to become a rapist.
Now listen, most international jewel thieves, you wouldn't think that he'd have to become a rapist.
Who are we to question Hack's ways?
Yeah.
The man gets results.
Yeah.
That's the point.
God, that Dr. Drew, he's lovely, isn't he? Don't you miss him when you watch him on the Celebrity Rehab?
Have you been watching that?
Of course.
Did you see The Graduation last night?
No, I missed it.
I did not see that. I watch it on Sundays because I like TiVo it. Who made it out, by the way?
Did any of those people make it?
Well, the big question at the end was who was going to go into sober living for 3 months
right,
after.
Right, I remember that, yeah. And then Dr. Drew organized them to get it all paid for.
Yeah, which was nice.
I don't want to ruin anything. I don't want to give away anything. But the guy from Crazy Town, Shifty, he smoked his tassel.
Uh-oh.
So I'd still say that kid has a problem.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, Shifty really seemed to come out the best.
He did. I mean, the food fight episode, I was really worried about all of them and their commitment to sobriety.
Yes.
Mm. What a riveting show. But the best part is, and the gal who runs it, who actually runs the rehab for Drew, I forget her name.
So Sandy or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, hot
and
blonde.
She's kind of hot blonde, and she's also, she's a real live wire, and she seems like her emotions are very short nerves there.
Right.
She's
immediately
to
tears.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Drew, that guy is, what a cool cucumber he is. He's unbelievable, huh?
Yeah, he is.
A rapist.
I don't know if he's a rapist, but
he's a man of passion, I can tell you that. God. Most of it is consensual. I will say this about Drew. You know, people always say, and as a matter of fact, I'll say the same thing about myself, because people would say to me, what's Drew really like?
Yeah.
And I would say he's exactly like he is.
Yeah.
And vice versa, by the way. They would ask him about me and say, I'm exactly how I seem. But Dr. Drew, like, people go, what's he like, you know, when the mics are turned off or when the cameras... Exactly the same.
You know, a couple times when I came and did your old show over there at Love Line with Drew, and I remember that, you know, in between... bits that we do, we'd go, be up there in a commercial and we'd go and have a cigarette, and I don't smoke anymore, by the way, so congrats to me. But I noticed I'd get very worried about what I'd say to Drew. I'd choose my words really carefully because I didn't want him to analyze me.
Yeah.
And say, like, man, you've got a real problem.
No, Drew... as I've said before, would walk into the studio once in a while and go, right before the show started, and go, who's been drinking?
Yeah.
And everyone would like kind of look around and kind of look down, and you're freaked out. All of a sudden, your stepdad had just come into the room, and you'd hidden a six-pack of Mickey's Big Mouth behind a futon. And he's like, someone been drinking? And then someone would sheepishly say, I had a glass of wine with dinner. And he'd go, yeah. Yeah, you did.
There's abuse there.
Do you want to talk about it?
All of a sudden, you felt like you're out of control when you were like 33 and you had a glass of wine with your meal four hours ago.
His ability to spot it, when people would call, they're like, hey, I'm calling from, you know, Oklahoma. My boyfriend and I, we like to go to the movies on Friday nights. Okay, now let's talk about this for a second. The way that you said your boyfriend, like, how did he know he was able, and then... You know, more likely than not, the person, there was something there.
I will say this, and people have asked me many times as well. They go, people, first off, not seeing people and just hearing them is more powerful in terms of divining information.
Yeah.
You don't realize how much your eyeballs screw you up, meaning there's some people that just look trustworthy,
yeah,
and some people that look rich, and some people that dress rich, and some people. You use all of those things when somebody walks in. It's weird, it's sad, but it's true. Like, Will Arnett is
rich. I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and I go, I'm going to dress rich this morning.
No, but there are a lot of things that we can decipher from looking at you.
Yeah.
You're tall.
Yeah.
You're slender.
Very tall.
You're attractive. And people wouldn't think you were lazy.
Or a rapist.
Right. Yeah. Meanwhile, a guy comes in. He's short. He's
Hack
squatty. He's overweight. He has a bald spot. People start making judgments.
Not me.
But when you just use your ears,
yeah,
like I'm using mine to
gum.
Go insane with you chewing the Nicorette right
I'm
now, Will Arnett.
I'm sorry.
Is that Nicorette?
Yeah.
When you
Man, you've got a real problem.
When you just
What's
use,
going on right now?
When you just use your ears, you glean much more information. You look much deeper into the soul. So it's like they say, when people go blind or they go deaf or whatever, the other senses
are heightened.
Pep up. We need to take a break. Will Arnett in studio, not only a semi-pro out, but Horton hears
a rapist.
It's coming out as well.
Not associated with those.
Do we have one
Horton
more?
Hears a rape
we have one more of those, Bald Brian.
Now, which of those three is your favorite? You have the kids or the International Jewel Thief? Or
I'm going International Jewel Thief.
This week on Hack, to catch an International Jewel Thief, Hack is going to have to become a rapist.
It's the pause that I love.
Yeah.
Hear him saying those exact words, and Horton hears
wow,
it.
That's not true.
I read the script. We'll take a quick break. Will Arnett in studio next.
It's the digital network player, so we're the future. And we got the future Valley star, Adam Carolla, right here on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
KLSX HD2 Los Angeles. 97.1 Free HD2. SoCal's FM talk station in high def.
Who wants to love the sexy?
Back to the Adam Carolla Show and more with semi-pros Will Arnett on the Adam Carolla Show.
Will Arnett in studio.
Great, huge studio audience here.
Yeah.
Horton Hears a Who
yeah.
out, I guess, 1 week from today.
Yeah, it's great. You know, you don't like to say this about stuff that you're in because you seem like a jerk, but it is a great movie for real. And I've never, I don't think I've ever said that out loud about something I've done. But
animated, obviously.
Animated movie. And honestly, when I walked out, my wife and I saw it and we said, it instantly was a classic. It's a really good movie.
And your wife knows something about comedy.
Yeah.
She's on SNL.
I'm such a huge fan of hers. I wanted to ask her. She's Amy Poehler's been playing Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
So far. It's been a great season for her. And she met Hillary. They did a little sketch together.
Last weekend, yeah.
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 How did she find Hillary?
Oh, she loved her. I mean, she was very cool. I'm addicted to this Call of Duty on Xbox Live. I play it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple buddies and I were...
I am too, but I spelled duty different.
Oh.
It's out of Germany. It's very avant-garde. Very avant-garde video game. Not for everyone. But those who enjoy it, really, really enjoy it.
Especially
man, you've got a real problem.
Yeah.
Two joysticks and a cup is also another one I enjoy as well.
No.
What is that from, by the way? I don't recognize
that's from about 5 minutes ago.
Man, you've got a real problem.
Yeah.
To our duty.
But we Call of Duty.
Call of
not
Duty.
Not to be confused with Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Which imagine if you had a call to that. Like you this is your calling of duty.
Right.
But there it is.
I hope you didn't go on
that's
jury
the rallying
duty.
Cry. That's the opening music. But we were like, let's go find Jason Sudeikis because he plays with us. Let's go find him and pretend to throw grenades into his dressing room with water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
My friends and I came running down the stairs
at
SNL.
This is during SNL.
During the show. And we went running down the stairs and we were coming down these back stairs from the 9th floor to the 8th floor at 30 Rock and we were yelling, grenade. And then there's like five Secret Service dudes.
Oh, right, because Hillary Clinton's there.
It couldn't have been the worst timing. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get like rendition. I'm going to find myself in Bulgaria, duct taped.
In a gulag somewhere, being reconditioned.
Yeah, writing on my hand backwards, like, please save me, and pressing my hand up against the van as it leaves.
And can I ask you this, Will Arnett?
Go for it.
Your star rising just about every month in this town, and your wife has got a little poll over there on SNL. I don't believe you've hosted yet.
Thank you.
I have seen just about every SNL. Will Arnett has been not been hosting, and I would argue that they've had folks in there that are lesser celebrities than Will Arnett. What do you think about that?
No, I would agree with you. but I would say, look, let's just cut to the chase here. I asked Adam to say that. I can't go on with this sham anymore. Yes.
And you were also bitching about Ellen Page, and how she wasn't that good hosting.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying she wasn't that tough.
Right.
Right.
You know.
Would you like to host the show?
No, I thought she was great.
And then is it a weird thing because you're the husband of one of the stars of the show that they think there's a little inside trading going on?
I would like to hope. I mean, it would be really fun. I'd love to do it. You know, I don't imagine that Amy's going to be on the show forever.
Mm-hmm.
Although you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Is she bored with it? Does she still love doing it?
No, she loves doing it. It's great. They've got a really great cast right now, and they've got a great writing staff, and I think that they've been making some of the best shows.
I agree, and here's how you know. People haven't been beating up the show for what seems like two or three seasons now. It was a constant barrage of, I could do better than that,
yeah,
they've lost their edge, the old cast was better, and I haven't heard any of that in about two or three years.
Can I tell you the thing that I find the most annoying is that people say, and they say, you know, I don't watch that show, I haven't watched it since the 70s, or I haven't watched it since so-and-so, and I think, like... So why do you hate it instantly, A? And B, I think it was quite in vogue for a while to bash SNL.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was totally unfounded.
I would like to say this as a former member of a sketch improv troupe.
Yeah.
Doing sketch comedy and new sketches every week is one of the tallest orders in show business.
And you know you would understand the expression of every week feeling like you're at the bottom of Sketch Mountain. Like, what are you going to do this week?
Right. Here's how most sketch comedy works. You write a sketch, you hone it in the workshop, you put it up, you work it out, and about 6-7 weeks into it, it starts to take shape and find its legs because you start finding moments, you get off script, so on and so forth. Putting up a sketch one time and then starting a new sketch from a fresh sheet of paper is like designing a car in one afternoon and then the following afternoon designing a totally new car and then the following afternoon. No, you have to sort of tweak it and shape it and put it in the wind tunnel, and they don't get that opportunity. And anyone who's done sketch improv would not judge so harshly SNL, which does a consistent, solid job.
Absolutely.
And go back and look at the old SNL.
They don't stand
up. That's my challenge. There's a stinker. For every one of the Belushi classics you remember, there are five stinkers in between.
I agree. And by the way, that's not a knock against him. That is the very nature of the beast. I mean, that is the inherent pitfall to sketch comedy, is that for every good sketch, there's a bad one. And that's just the way it goes. And by the way, not bad. It just doesn't resonate the same way.
Right. All right. Will Arnett in studio. Horton hears a who. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, but Jules on line one says she switched to Kevin and Bean if you don't spit your gum out. Jules?
Yeah, Adam. Yeah, I'm reaching for the dial as we speak if he doesn't spit that gum out.
All right.
Jules, stop for a second and think about this. This is a major decision in your life. You're driving to work. I presume that you have a job.
Yes, I do, and I've been at work since 6 a.m.
Okay, well, look, this situation's far more dire than I thought. You're thinking about switching radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it, Jules.
Okay, spit the gum out.
Well, I would argue that this is not gum. If this was Juicy Fruit, I would ask him to do it, but this is Nicorette.
Jules,
right, I understand.
Jules, let me say this. What if this gum was going to save my life? Life.
I'd still ask you to spit it out. For the segment.
In a world with no Nicorette.
Yeah. Put it behind your ear and then grab it when the segment's over.
Yeah, but that does
Jules,
him,
no.
That does, oh, it, that does oh, him no good oh, in the nicotine
well,
department.
Well, how long have you been off the smokes?
3 weeks today.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Come on, Jules.
Over 20 years of smoking, Jules. What do you want me to do? Die?
No, I don't want you to die.
How much did you smoke?
I spat it out.
He yeah, spat it out.
I smoked a pack a day for over 20 years, and I never went more than 2 days without a cigarette. And so for me, these last 3 weeks have been a real, you know, it's the first time I've ever done it, and it's been pretty incredible for me.
Jules, he spat it out for you.
I spat it out for you because I don't want you to touch the dial.
And he just lit up a cigarette. I hope you're happy.
Thank you. Yes. Will Arnett in studio. Horton, here's a who. Now, can I ask you quickly? I'm trying to think how we're doing on time. But yeah, let me ask you. Jim Carrey in the movie.
Awesome. Jim Carrey and Steve Carell in this movie are so good.
Do you get to work with them? Because I know this stuff gets sort of piecemealed out, and people do things from different places and different times on different stages. Did you get to get in the same studio with them at any time?
No, you know, you really don't. I got to, just because they'd record my wife and myself. My wife Amy's in it as well.
Right.
So they'd come to New York and record us. So I'd see her kind of do her stuff. But you don't really interact with anybody else. I don't know if Jim Carrey and Steve Carell worked with each other at all at any point. But certainly I didn't. And it's even more testament to how good these guys are in the movie.
And can I say this as well? Once in a while, when I say I would have to be boiled in Beazle nut juice, that is from Horton Hears a Who.
It's yes,
been right.
People
right,
have said to me, what is that reference where I said, listen, if Flava Flav was with my woman before I was, I would have to boil her in Beazle nut juice before I bedded her. That's what that's from.
Uh-huh.
They threatened to drop Horton, the elephant who hears a who. It's basically a metaphor for our planet and other planets
it
and
is,
so and on
it's
and so
a,
forth.
It's about forgiveness and acceptance, and I guess I'd heard that Dr. Seuss dedicated that the book to a Japanese friend of his after World War II, after Hiroshima. It's a great message, and it really is a fantastic movie. If you have kids, take them. If you don't have kids, grab somebody else's and take them to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Strangers.
We will take ourselves a break. Will Arnett, semi-pro now. Horton Hears a Who. A week from now, and again, not a movie about rape, but any port in a storm, Will is ready to work. He'll do a little Dr. Seuss. We'll take a break, T.
Yes?
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
American Idol, down to the final 12.
I'm still having issues with your massive lack of personality.
And there's some very, very big news close to home.
That's no way to talk to Paula Abdul, by the way.
I love Simon Cowell, by the way. He's always right. Can I just go on,
yeah,
on record?
Yeah, I think he's always right, too.
Absolutely always right.
I agree.
I will say that as well. All right, quick break. Back with the news. Thank you, Will Arnett.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
Hey, y'all. It's the Valley Stud, and you know I'm always on that digital network, 97.1 Free 2 HD, because I'm high, definitely, or high definition.
Now, here's another great Crank Yankers episode on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hello?
Hello? Is this Al Foster?
Speaking.
Okay. Al, you don't know me, but in a way you kind of do, because my name is Al Foster as well.
Huh.
Yeah, I just happened to see your name in the phone book, and it's the same name as my own. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, say so.
So I was just thinking, you know, maybe we should, you know, somehow meet or get together at some point and check out what that's all about. Because, like, I happened to call another Al Foster this morning, and he came over to my place. Here, get on the phone, Al.
Hello?
Yeah.
Is this Al Foster?
Yeah.
This is Al Foster, too.
We got three Al Fosters here.
This has got to be the first time in the history of the world that three Al Fosters are talking on the telephone at the same time.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny, Al?
Didn't know it was anymore.
There's no stopping us. Al, what do you do, Al?
Well, I'm mostly in the farming business.
Al, I got to tell you, that is so weird. I grow sorghum.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think we should make a deal between the three of us that because we're all three Al Fosters, we'd be best friends forever.
I would. I definitely would.
I love it. Yeah. You're my favorite, Al.
You're my favorite, Al. Wait, are you kissing me?
I love
pretty
it.
Pretty strange, huh?
It's really strange. Wait, come over here.
Come here. Come here.
Well, there's a few more Fosters down in this area than I ran across.
Can you just hold just 1 second? Just hold on 1 second. Oh, yeah. Right there. Right there. Okay. Okay. Like that. Like that. Now, where did you say the other Fosters are from?
There's some over in the Ladson area over there, I know, but...
Just one second, Al. Yeah, right there. Work my... That's it. Just handle this. Oh, God. I'm so close right now.
Hey, if we all got together and moved in together, you know what that'd be? A foster home.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm close. This is it.
Hey, Al, can you just hold on 1 second, please?
This is it. Oh, God. That's it. Thank you.
All right, bud.
Well, Al, I got to tell you, it's been great talking
to you.
Oh,
yeah. I try to stay friends with all Fosters.
Can we agree that we will be best friends forever?
One more question, just throwing it out there. And there's been so many coincidences today that I think of it, who knows. Are you into dudes at all?
No, not me.
Yeah, us neither. We don't like
no,
that
we don't either.
Not at all.
Not us. All right.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
I'm Jeff Garland, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for Grandma's Balls.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
For about a year, Jean Mansell has cherished her cement Jesus statue, an heirloom from her late uncle. But Thursday morning, Jean walked outside only to find that Jesus was gone. In the mailbox, a ransom note. The note reads, "We are holding Jesus ransom until you clean up the poopy from your wieners, and trust us, we see you take your wieners for long walks without picking up their poopy in our yards. This has upset us dearly, so please clean up all the wiener poopy if you want to see Jesus unharmed."
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
T-Bone.
That was great.
That was awesome. How about your own news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Well, it's going to pale in comparison to that.
Sure.
American Idol has seeded its top 12. Here are the four contestants who had to hit the road in order for that to happen.
A rapist.
18-year-old Katie Malloy. She's the girl who did the spot-on Britney Spears impression. She sang Queen's Who Wants to Live Forever. And Simon had this to say.
I'm still having issues with your massive lack of personality.
She's gone. Also, Asia with an apostrophe H, Epperson.
I would argue that a massive lack of personality is, in fact, a personality trait.
That's Stephen Wright.
Right.
The absence of a personality is of it in and of itself some kind of a personality.
Like, it's like, you know what my calling card is?
That you don't have?
No calling card.
Calling card.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Asia, apostrophe H, her calling card.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone. Mm-hmm. She sang Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. 29-year-old Luke Menard. He sang Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. It's kind of a bizarre choice. He's gone.
Good.
And finally, I was shocked. Anton Chigurh, or as you know him, Danny Noriega.
Mm-hmm.
Vote for the worst big choice.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Oh.
She was hot.
She was very pretty. Actually, Batman asked if she could... If Danny Noriega could switch over to the girls' team on Idol.
The girl that sang the Joan Jett song is 10 times the man that he is.
Easily.
Amanda Overmeyer? Yes.
Easily. Yeah.
I love Danny Noriega.
Oh.
I'm very sad, but some people think that his naughty MySpace
holiday song
might have had some.
You can't tell Santa to F off and expect America to vote for you.
Happy New Year. Okay, I'm just making a video, a Christmas video, because it's almost Christmas. I want to wish all of you guys a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Okay, that shit. I hope Santa calls me to your mother, and I hope you all get cold, because you guys are all pieces of shit.
This year, in order for Santa to come down your chimney, Santa's going to have to become
a rapist.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let me make this observation. He's how old now?
18.
And he did that video when he was 16 or 17, or he did that before American Idol,
that's
obviously.
Right.
I noticed he had a pierced lip and he was going through a stage. How about this, T-Bone? How about the reality that every person born in the last 15 years will have every stage chronicled? Because there's a camera in every single cell phone, and if not, there's just a video camera in every household. Imagine all the horrible stages you went through. Like, Bald Brian, remember when you were 4 and you had hair?
Oh, yeah.
Remember how you
were so cute.
You weren't like Leif Garrett.
Yeah. Running my fingers through my...
It was, young Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, man.
The point, if Farrah Fawcett was fat, had a penis, and never got laid... That would be Bald Brian. That would be Bald Brian in the fourth grade. Here's my point. Every single thing you do, every mood, every impulse, all hormonal driven. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
There's those things. Like, if you would have left me alone with a video camera from age 14 on, there would be thousands of hours of me saying horrible things about society, people. There'd be all sorts of scandalous what have you. My genitalia would be all over the internet at this point. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if this is necessarily a good thing.
It's hard to find a pageant winner these days with no, you know, embarrassing photos.
Right, because all pageant winners are 18, thus they all grew up in a house with a video camera, and what rebellious teen didn't smoke a doobie or drink a beer and then have one of their stupid friends pick up a video camera and have them do something stupid in front of it?
There's a series of PSAs now about this, about not getting drunk and taking video yourself, about not posting images online, because once it's out there, everyone can see it.
You know when this started? This started with the videotaping of birth. People kept saying, let's get a videotape of that. And I thought, why? And
they said, are you saying births were videotaped before sex?
I'm saying somebody decided it'd be a great idea to bring a video camera into the operating room and videotape kids coming out of their mother into the world, which A, set a very dangerous precedent, which is you should be videotaped nude at all times. Most people were videotaped unknowingly nude 10 seconds onto this planet. And then number two, it broke down a wall we used to have.
Right.
There used to be an invisible curtain between what you did in your home and what you did in the privacy of your own whatever versus what society used to be able to be privy to. And when it came to the video camera of birthing, as I said to the person that wanted me to videotape my children being born, they said, how would it hurt? And I said, how would it help?
I would agree with you. I do not want my wedding videotaped. I don't ever want to look at that. I don't know why anyone else would want to look at that.
Nobody
I have no
wants
interest
it.
In it.
You don't want to see it. And again, I don't want to. If I had videotape of me being born, I would not see it unless I was high as hell on mushrooms,
oh, no.
In which case, freak out.
Well, speaking of, to hear the Corollas don't have tons of home movies of you as a kid. Are you telling me there's not a library cataloging your every year and phase and stage?
One of
all your football games on tape?
One of my wife's most disturbing revelations as it pertains to the Corollas was the first Thanksgiving over at Pop's house, where she actually counted 37 pictures of various family members and step family members, and she said, not one picture of you. I said, yes, welcome to the Corollas. And she said, why is that? And I said, I have no idea. Pop's Corolla, not exactly a shutterbug.
Right.
I don't believe my dad ever owned a camera. I don't believe my mom ever owned a camera.
If the trumpet could have taken pictures, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll one day develop that.
Oh, if I was ever abducted when I was 9, they would have had to, instead of running that picture on the back of the milk carton, they would have had to bring a police sketch artist over to my dad's house, and he would have went, pfft. He was between 2 foot and 9 foot.
What was he wearing?
Yoda jammies? I don't know. He was a white guy.
Wait.
For what?
What did your son weigh?
Well, I don't know. He didn't weigh things.
No, how much did he weigh? We need his height and weight to put on the missing poster.
Like I said, between 2 foot and 9 foot and between 3 ounces and 300 pounds. White guy.
Can you describe your personality?
Any birthmarks? Tattoo?
I think I have a picture. Damn. Honey, get that shoebox out of the closet. I think there's one of him when he was 4 months.
It's not going to be very helpful.
Hmm. Oh, I have his pillow. Could we go ahead and just make a clay mold out of that and have one of those guys that, you know, digs up bones, you know, and does, you know, frozen caveman thing to do some sort of rendition of him or something? I think we can find a picture. Maybe we can find a picture. Oh. Let's see. He didn't have a high school yearbook because that was $8, but his buddy Ray bought one. Go to his buddy Ray's house. I think you can find a picture of him in there.
Well, certainly you know where Ray lives.
His mom's a pretty heavy smoker, so I believe that...
Follow the smoke.
Follow the smoke.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned smoking because I have a story about people in Minnesota who found a loophole in the state's new smoking ban. Mm. They found a way to smoke. Very creative.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 30 bars in Minnesota where people are still smoking. They are not getting the $300 fine and misdemeanor charge because of the loophole.
Mm.
There's a stipulation in the ban that says actors are allowed to smoke during theatrical productions. Mm-hmm. As long as the audience is notified that there's going to be smoking on stage, the cigarettes are considered props.
Mm-hmm.
One bar in Maplewood, Minnesota, called The Rock, is regularly staging what they call theater nights.
Mm-hmm.
During theater nights, customers pretend they're actors, so they can smoke. When they come into the bar, they even pass the props department, which is a stack of black ashtrays. The bar makes up fake playbills that list the names of bartenders and security guards.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
And say they're playing the roles of bartenders, like I said. And at the Barnacles Resort and Campground in Aitken, Minnesota, they came up with an even more outrageous idea. Medieval night.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone dresses in costume and speaks with an accent.
Mm-hmm.
Just so they can smoke.
Mm.
The Minnesota Health Department has caught on to the whole thing, and they're going to fine these bars $10,000 for holding fake theater nights.
Look, I love it when you beat the man on a technicality. I love when you beat anyone on a technicality. Here's the thing about smoking. Not good for you. Neither are many, many, many things in our society. But we live in a free society, and just like I don't get to slap the chili dog out of your hand, I shouldn't be allowed to slap the cigarette out of your hand. And if I want to open a goddamn bar called Chili Dogs and Cigarettes, then I should be able to. Now, here's the other beauty of our free society. You are free not to come into my bar called Cigarettes and Chili Dogs and not inhale any secondhand smoke or be splattered with any secondhand lard. That's your prerogative. Of course, if there's a situation where you're forced to go to the library and you're nestled between chain smokers, that's a completely different situation. But on private property, at my establishment, I should be able to decide who and what and when I want to do what. I can't stand this law. You want to talk about civil liberties, and you want... Listen, all you pussies that are worried about the Patriot Act, how about you focus on this civil liberty? This is the government telling you what to do, where you can do it, and when you can do it. And when did the obsession with cigarettes begin? I understand they're not good for you. So are many, many things in our society. When did it become the thing that we all rally around? You know what I'm saying? I mean, when did it become the most evil thing in our society? Yes, there are people that smoke and some that don't. We know people that have suffered consequences from smoking, but you suffer consequences from driving, eating junk food, or having unprotected sex. When did it become the one thing we could all agree on politically?
I just watched The Insider again last night, the movie, and I think it was because, at least with alcohol and all these other things, everyone was so upfront with, hey, this is bad for you, we know it, we're selling it anyway. The cigarette companies for so long denied it, even in front of Congress and such, and then they
right.
were exposed as liars and hypocrites and made them even more evil.
Right. I am sucking on a stick that's on fire. It's not the same as doing a push-up. I think we can figure that one out. And I've known cigarettes are bad for you since I was born. They started this campaign in the late 60s and the early 70s. I used to see the public service announcements. We get it. Yet, Some people choose to smoke in light of those consequences, just like if you pull into a fast food joint around lunchtime, there will be a long line of people ready to consume and pay for something that is not good for them. That's their prerogative. That's what this country's about. F you, Minnesota government.
All right, let me get to this quickly because I have to get to an important story that involves all three of us
mm-hmm.
and this show and the money in Brian's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
First, let me get to this. Mm. Let me get to this. Most men do not care if their wife makes more money than they do. Elle Magazine and MSNBC surveyed more than 74,000 people and found that only 12% of men actually care if their wife makes more money than they do. In fact, 40% of men whose wives aren't working actually wish they were.
Sure.
And of the men whose wives do have careers, only 5% wish they would quit and stay at home.
Well, let me say a couple of things. One, when people ask you that question, you should say no.
Right.
You always have to factor that into every survey.
I thought about that, yeah.
You know, whenever there's a question that has a little stigma attached,
right.
is you know, are you a racist? 100% people say no, yet you open the newspaper and someone got dragged behind a pickup truck. So obviously somebody's a racist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's part of that. Number two, if both of you are working, that means you need the money. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which then means the more the old lady could bring in, the better, because times are tight.
Sure.
So, and I do think it's another one of these stigmas. It's like huge jugs. Most guys don't care about huge jugs. Most women assume guys do. And also most women think guys would somehow feel castrated if their woman made more. I can tell you right now, I would love it if my wife made more money than me. I would love it if every girlfriend I had made more money than me. And if they don't lord it over you, then so be it.
Brian, would you agree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my girlfriend makes a very healthy living. She's very successful, and it's you know what, actually, I'll be honest with you, it's actually kind of a turn on.
I would think
so. It's impressive, and it's attractive.
Not for her.
Well, you could argue that earning is a manifestation of a lot of good qualities, like working hard, being smart.
Educated.
Yes.
Dedicated. A master's degree.
Yes, look, we're constantly fishing around trying to figure out all of guys' foibles and insecurities. As it turns out, we're not nearly as bad as those women's magazines would like to think we are.
And it's good to know what you said about the jugs. Now, Brian has in his pocket right now a 20 from you and a 20 from me.
That's
earlier
right.
In the show, we did a little game called Weed Walking.
Mm-hmm.
We had Mike Dawson ask some stoners questions. We try to predict their answers.
Mm-hmm.
Later, hosen.
Mm-hmm.
As always, we lost to Brian.
Right.
It has been brought to our attention that our research team screwed up on Weed Walking. The chemical formula for nitrous oxide is not NO2. It is N2O. All of us missed that, including myself.
Mm.
NO2 is nitrogen dioxide, a poisonous air pollutant. Therefore, technically, Brian was wrong, and Adam and I tied up the game 2-2.
This is groundbreaking.
But wait, I correctly predicted his answer.
No, you said he would get it right. Come on.
You said he would get it right.
Damn.
So.
Good try. We do have a do-over. Dawson is here. Mike Lynch is here, our writer.
Three-way tie.
We're back to a three-way tie. The money is already in Brian's pocket.
I got bad news. The money's spent. I'm sorry.
Dawson's, Brian bought a tub of Rogaine during the commercial break.
You know very well they sell them in drums, not tubs.
I'm sorry, 55-gallon drum of Rogaine. You want to know what that hand truck was doing in the
I was
hall?
Wondering.
This is Rogaine. All right, so now, weed walking all tied up, Dawson.
We can either do the three-way tie question, or we can do another question, and then if need be, get to a tiebreaker after
Let's do the three-way tie question and put this stuck animal out of its misery. You ready? Intro,
what is
please.
The best mungy food? Doritos, burritos, or Fritos?
Your delivery was
burritos.
Very excellent. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd like to go with Doritos.
I'll take burritos.
This is devastating. I'm not taking Fritos. I won the money. I'm not taking Fritos on this one.
We are all tied up. We've done some research. Take it like a man. You've been left
Doritos.
What's wrong with Fritos?
Everyone knows he's going to say Doritos. I've got burritos. You've got Fritos.
I would have said, by the way, I took Doritos, but I would have taken Fritos. Okay. And right. Fritos came last.
Do
you want
to
swap?
And when you're talking to stoners, whatever comes last is whatever they remember. Like you go, who was your favorite Brady? And you go, was it Cindy Brady? Was it Jan Brady? Was it Marsha Brady? They'll go, Marsha Brady, because that's the last one they remember
you saying.
Now, as
the reigning champion, should we give...
No,
Brian,
I'll take
first
Fritos.
Pick.
Fritos is fine.
Fritos was last.
Fritos is solid Fritos is and last.
That's Fritos is good.
All right. I have Doritos.
You've got burritos.
You've got burritos, and you've got Fritos. Let's hear the setup one more time, and then the answer.
What is the best munchy food? Doritos, burritos, or Fritos?
Oh, Fritos.
Yes! You son of a bitch! Why would you go burrito, by the way? It's not a munchy food. It's
bills.
A meal.
I enjoy burritos.
Woo! I knew Fritos was going to be the one the whole time.
I enjoy burritos, too, but it's not a munchy food.
But it rhymes, dude.
It doesn't even munch. It's more of a, you know, it's more of a, there's a soft sound associated with it.
Yeah, but if you go to 7-Eleven.
I was thinking of the microwave burritos you get at 7-Eleven. Those are really good.
Smart. And he did really sell burritos.
He sold it. Yeah.
Sounded like Will Arnett couldn't have done a better job on burrito.
I feel like I've lost my 20 all over again. Do you feel that pain?
I do. I do feel like I'm down 40. Well, perhaps Dawson could rape you with his burrito. We'll take a break.
Weed walking.
Wait. What was I talking about?
All right. That's the news. And here's some more news for you. Joan Rivers, everybody. Joan Rivers on the program next. A little space trucking for your ears.
Oh, no.
Take a quick break. Back with Joan Rivers next.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, your station for the Adam Carolla Show, 24/7, 365, 6,492,500. There's just a lot of Carolla. Hey, if it's Adam Carolla all day, you gotta have some crank yankers, right? Here's another great one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hello, Albany Pet Stop.
Is this a pet store?
This is a pet store, yes it is.
You son of a bitch, you sold my brother a snake and it ate my hamster.
Who's your brother?
His name is Kevin.
What kind of snake did we sell him?
It was a mean snake.
Is your mommy there?
No.
How old are you?
I'm 7. I love that hamster.
Hey, you know what? If you're 7 years old, you're a little too young to be calling me a bad name.
You're gonna go to hell, you scumbag.
See you there.
I should kick you in the ball.
Hi, I'm Mary Lynn Rice Tubb, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, guess who we're going to talk to, everyone? Joan Rivers. Joan?
I'm sorry, I am a diva. My show is a hit. You will speak to me through my assistant, Matt, and I will answer you that way.
Matt?
Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Matt, could you ask
someone better be putting a finger on that button.
Yes, the finger is on that button. And, Your Highness, you cannot say the F word on the radio.
I can say anything. It's not my show.
Well, that's a very...
You're going to suffer.
A very good point.
That's going to happen to me, buddy.
That guy sounds hot.
So, Joan, the show is called... Miss Rivers. The show is called... Joan Rivers.
Of course.
A work in progress by life in progress. And it's autobiographical. When do you start the show? And not when does the run start?
Is this going to be a serious interview, Matt.
Yes. What?
Is this going to be a serious interview, Ms. Rivers would like to know?
Matt, we liked you on the Man Show.
Oh, well, tell.
I want humor, Matt. I want humor.
They want humor.
She wants humor.
Who is the bitch?
All right.
It's Teresa. Can I ask Joan a question through Matt?
No, it's Teresa.
Did Teresa ask you a question?
Is this Mother Teresa? Wash your feet.
I'm the Jewish Mother Teresa.
If Mother Teresa was good looking, she'd be a saint already.
Mm. I believe she has been canonized.
Or wouldn't be on radio. But go ahead. Ask Ms. Rivers a question, Teresa.
Ms. Rivers.
Yes.
The red carpet has not been the same since you left it. It's a travesty what's going on. Why aren't you on the red carpet? What happened with TV Guide?
I'm going to tell you and get a lawsuit. Yeah, that makes sense, Teresa. Get a life.
Well, you're known for your honesty.
My honesty will be in court. No, what happened was our contract was up, and some really smart person, we got the highest ratings ever, so they let us go, and they dropped 50% this year. So they're not happy because they're doing paybacks right now.
Right.
But we're going to have a big announcement. I love when people say that. We're going to have a big announcement. So, everybody get ready for a big announcement.
It's not you're not coming out as a lesbian, are you?
No.
Speaking of sexual proclivities, Matt.
Oh, my God.
I had a gay assistant named Matt. You're not the same one, are you, Matt?
Say yes.
you wondered where those cufflinks went.
I wouldn't say that my gay assistant, Matt, didn't take care of business, but one day when I came home, he was writing a letter to Little Kim in prison and signing from Adam Carolla. And I said, why are you doing that? And he said, I'm bored, and I'm a big Little Kim fan, and I want her to look you up when she gets out of the joint.
Matt, you don't write anyone letters from Joan, do you?
Well, just Charles Manson.
In the joint. So, Miss Rivers.
Yes, my darling angel.
The show is Tuesday through Sunday at the Geffen Playhouse.
And you better get your tickets fast. How about their scalping tickets? The Playhouse holds, like, it's a little bitty playhouse, and this horrible little scalper outside selling them for triple. Is that hilarious?
Well, it's funny, but also quite a
flattering
for
not
you.
If I don't get a nickel.
Well, decent point as well. And two shows on Saturday and Sunday. Now, I'm not going to ask how old you are because that would be in poor form.
106.
But at 106, doing two shows a weekend, doesn't that sound a little bit taxing?
Not if you know Lindsay Lohan and her friends.
Oh, I see. Gets a little help.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little help, it looks like talcum.
Uh-huh, just a little bump, just a little booger sugar.
It scares the hell out of the can. Sometimes I come in and I play the whole show to the wall.
Well, Joan, as somebody who did come to prominence in the 70s and early 80s, I'm sure you've seen a lot of cocaine pass by, but yet we've never heard of you being in rehab or having any difficulties with that.
No, it bores me that I didn't.
Really, it'd be nice.
Back, I was so stupid. I would go to parties, and there'd be this big white ball on the center of a table. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, I thought it was like, oh, ice cream.
You kept trying to dip a cookie in it.
Look, Edgar, it's a dip.
So really, I mean, coke was that prevalent in the early 80s in Hollywood.
They literally had parties where it was out buffet-wise.
Wow.
It was insane.
Just a huge mound of coke in the middle of a Merv Griffin's living room.
It was so unusual. I mean, to see people like the Reagans, so that's a joke. I love it so much. But to see...
Sure, to although see Nancy Garson, is very thin, yes.
Greer Garson, the old movie star, sticking her nose in, was quite a sight.
Well, they really just thought it was sort of health powder back then. I mean, they didn't even understand that it was bad for you. We were talking about cigarettes earlier in the morning, and it kind of has taken the same trajectory. Athletes used to do commercials for cigarettes, and in the early 80s, late 70s, people didn't think coke was bad for you.
Oh, they knew. They certainly did.
Did they?
Oh, yes. Yes, don't ever let them tell you those stories. You know, it's like old-timers revisionistic history.
Right.
I had a friend in Vegas, that wanted Coke, and I asked every single person in the orchestra, and they always used to protect me. Everyone said, "What are you talking about?" Meanwhile, as I said, they were playing the wrong end of the clarinet.
Right, which sounds like something Matt may be doing later on this afternoon.
With any luck.
Dude, are you gay?
I hate to stereotype, Matt, but there's one thing I know from this town. Publicists and assistants. All gay.
Do you know anyone?
Jonah.
Matt is leaving me. A very close friend of his died. I'm not making a joke, and left him a bundle of money.
Oh, really?
And the loyalty was astonishing. As he got the check, he quit.
Really?
Well, Joan,
you know, 5 years of loyalty.
Joan, you are a bit of an icon in the gay community, are you not?
Thank God somebody likes me.
Yes, and I'm
Drake
not.
Hate me.
I'm not sure how it goes, and maybe I'll ask Matt this question: Why Joan Rivers? Why such an icon amongst the gays?
It's her access to cocaine.
So she's basically the candy lady.
Exactly.
Joan.
She's sort of the white female Sammy Davis.
The show is Tuesday through Sunday. Two shows on Saturday and Sunday. She'll be beaked out of her brain on the second
right.
show.
She'll be performing to the wall and complain that the audience is unresponsive.
Runs through March 30th at the Geffen.
No. April 6th, extended.
Oh, extended. Mm. And by the way, the Geffen Playhouse just sounds like a gay bar right there.
Now, the truth is, I have to be serious.
Okay.
It's a fabulous show. We got great reviews. The cast is astonishing. We're held over. We get standing ovations every single night. And these are from people on walkers.
And
you know how hard it is to get up.
So, Joan, so people actually steadying themselves on stroke canes are giving you standing ovations. That is all you need to know. No better review than that. Joan, how about you put on your face and come see us in person one of these days?
I would love to. And we'll do it. Seriously, I would love to because I think we would last the whole hour.
Listen, bring Matt.
And, yes.
Hurry up.
You better hurry, honey.
Before that check clears.
All right, I will come, but only if Teresa wears sandals.
Done.
Done and done. Joan Rivers, Matt the assistant, you're truly doing the Lord's work, and we'll see you at the Geffen Playhouse.
They're having a good time,
yeah.
Those two. I love Joan.
I like her, too.
She's kind of nervous. She's one of my idols.
Oh, really? So yeah, you thought you're talking to the great Joan Rivers.
She's the great Joan Rivers. I mean, she was one of the very, very first females in comedy.
She is the Jackie...
Robinson.
Robinson of Thank You Stand-Up Comics. We'll take ourselves a quick break back to wrap it up next.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Carlos Alazraki.
I try to be nice, you guys. I consider myself to be a nice American, which is sometimes an oxymoronic term, nice American. We are not known throughout the world, especially with our president, screw diplomacy. We're not known as being nice around the world, man. We just aren't. We're young. So America is a superpower since what? 1940 when we won the war. 60 years as a superpower, 200 years as a nation, and we're cocky. We're like teenagers. Hey, screw you, Europe. Hey, I'm America, ass. I don't have to agree with your crap, your UN crap. I'll rock your world. I'm America. That's right, man. Yeah. Back off, Chirac.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
I'm Dana Gould, and you're listening to 97.1 32 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for Free Monkeys. Call now and get one. Actual station may not provide.
I just screamed at Teresa for the entire commercial break about how I resent having to be funny.
Made up for a missing week in Rage.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that on Monday. Sorry, but Will Arnett, Joel McHale, Joan Rivers, how could you say no to those people?
Yeah, that makes sense, Teresa. Get a life.
My idol telling me to get a life.
It's going to be your outgoing message. Joel McHale from The Soup, everybody. Tonight, 10 o'clock on E! Also at the Ontario Improv. Tonight, all the way through Sunday, Will Arnett, semi-pro.
Man, you've got a real problem.
In theaters as we speak, and Horton, smells at you.
Uh-oh.
T? Oh, that was a typo. Horton Hears a Who in theaters next week. Joan Rivers at work, or I should say a work in progress by Life in Progress at the Geffen Playhouse. And you can hear this show on Free2HD at AdamCarolla.com. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. Yeah, I blew a snot rocket onto my Hirachi the other day, and a dog licked it off, and then I let a fart go, but it didn't come from my ass.